It's showtime.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this penultimate day of March 2022. This is The Horn. Headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, and all time zones in between, and the great globe round, whatever time it is where you're watching. It is prayer meeting Wednesday, so consequently that means that Sparky has the day off, just like doctors on Wednesday. But if you pop into the chat room right quick, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Stockton Larry and Squeaky and Kid Mark and Anatole, and absolutely incapably moderated by, well, me, and hopefully Brother Bishop Steve from Georgia Stan, pinch hit midweek utility chat room moderator and all-around great guy, will be along presently. But I certainly know, I know how hard Steve works, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But anyway, it is, in fact, the 30th day of March, 2022, prayer meeting Wednesday, and just like that, because, you know, climate change modeling suggests that we will have wild swings, kind of like, well, sort of a geophysical, climatological, bipolar disorder, because we are a bipolar planet. I mean, every planet is, isn't it? I should probably ask Miss Terry. So yesterday it was positively Arctic in here, and I couldn't feel my knees or my feet when I left the studio, and I was all bundled up and had a sweater on and stuff like that. And today it's freaking, well, it's bikini radio. I can no longer do naked radio. I'm told that there are elements of decorum involved. It's 82 degrees in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. And I'm schwitzing. Because warm. Because it was like near freaking 85 degrees outside today. A little breezy. You know, the breeze was very nice. It was nice to get out and, well, I ran some errands. I had to go and pick up my meds, and we needed needed some coffee for Annette, and you know, half and half, and kibble and whatnot. And so I ran out and then did my errands, and it was nice to get out in the sun. I feel ever so much better when the sun is, you know, present. Maybe I need to move to San Diego or something where it's always sunny or something. I went out, ran around, a beautiful day, windy, kind of breezy. But meanwhile, we go from subarctic to apparently most of the southeastern United States is in what-the-fuck mode. I just saw tornado warnings issued for places in Arkansas. Haley, honey, batten down the hatches, and Reggie and others. Stay safe from that kind of garbage. and vast swaths of the southeast are under tornado warnings, watches, thunderstorm warnings, watches. Thank you. Trey in Kentucky Stan is still kicking. Good to hear from you, Trey. I guess, tomorrow we'll be deluged with rain here in central Appalachia. I kind of wish it was lower Appalachia. I'd call it L.A., but and then I'd get shit from, from Tracy and Billable Rick and the lot. But climate change, it's real. And Trey tells me it's very windy here in northern Kentucky, Stan. You are you're right on the leading edge of the crap that's blowing through. Stay safe. Lee in New York says, planetary poles. If a planet does not have a magnetic field, it will not have those poles. If a planet does not rotate, it will not have those poles. Earth has both sets. They are close to each other. Yeah, I guess there's no magnetic core, for instance, on Mars, but Mars has poles. I don't profess to be an astrophysicist or an... if you study rocks on Earth, you're a geologist. If you study the makeup of stars, does that mean you're an astrologist?
Huh?
What? She's a Scorpio. Never mind. So anyway, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So we send out thanks to, we don't really have any 30th of the month subscribers because of the way PayPal operates, but I do need to thank an anonymous friend for have a show on me that took us down to only $845 to go to finish the month of March. So what does that work out to? If we were to divide that in two, that would be $422.50 for this evening. But let's just leave it at $845 to finish the month and hope that there's a miracle waiting for us out there somewhere so that things can be better than they are. Thank you for the challenges yesterday to Chris in Germany and to our dear friend Rico in what I hope is the warming and blooming Berg. Although, if those winds are blowing around, there's, when the wind, when the wind kicks through the area down by the point, it's worse in winter. Pick up the cold over one river and blow it toward the other, and the next thing you know, you feel like you don't have skin anymore. But I hope it's warm and toasty there, Rico. I really, really do. So, to get us started, Joey writes, "This truly is a What the Fuck Wednesday. Some will often ask me how do I come up with some of the ideas for the journal, and I simply tell them on days like today, the journal just writes itself." Oh, God, there's that giraffe. Oh, yes, Horn family, just an update on the Jada Pinkett Rock scandal situation. It appears Will Smith was not upset that Chris Rock was making fun of his wife, but rather that Rock did not deliver the joke properly. According to sources, Rock was supposed to say G.I. Jada, not G.I. Jane. Oh, dear Lord, the giraffe isn't done. Yes, and furthermore, the most common pink rock is known as feldspar, after Chris Rock screwed up the name G.I. Jane instead of G.I. Jada. Don't do it, Jeffrey. Oh, wait, don't do it, Jeffrey. I'm warning you. Yes, as I was saying, when Joey rudely interrupted me, the most popular pink rock or rock-forming mineral with pink color in the world is feldspar, and after Chris Rock stated the wrong name in jest, Will Smith wanted a piece of the rock as he felled like sparring. Oh, Jesus. The llama is almost unconscious as it heads down from the mountain passes. It only gets worse. Junior's been paying too much attention. However, all's well that ends well, because backstage Will apologized to the stunned comedian and told Chris that he was his rock. All right, that's enough. Both of you, you two, go eat some vegetation in the high branches. Well, at least there's still Joey Two the Kangaroo. She usually brings at least a little class. In Australia, we have what is known as Dendrobium kingianum, or pink rock orchid, which is native to eastern Australia and can be found growing on boulders and rock crevices in the open forest or on cliff faces. Well, at least we've got some useful knowledge added to the quantum of information of the journal today. Thank you. Thank you, Joey, you little deer. Well, actually, little kangaroo. Speaking of rich people not being held accountable and a slap in the face, will the Mar-a-Lago malefactor felon ever be charged with a crime? Will the sloth Southern District of New York ever do anything to bring America's number one criminal to justice? Is it, at this point, anything short of Donald Trump not being in jail, being held on bail prior to a trial of tax, bank, and real estate fraud is a total slap in the face to the unjust justice system in this country? If the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini is not edited sometime soon, then let it be said from this point forward there's no justice or justice system in this country. Oh, I remember. Well, so much for the higher vegetation. You may remember when Joey worked at First Energy in Akron, Ohio, and he literally locked out the former CEO, Chuck Jones, right out of the West Akron office facility for about 45 minutes after the taxpayers bailed out two First Energy's nuclear plants in Ohio, and then furloughed seven workers, one being Joey, to curb costs. Well, it turns out that after an investigation by local authorities, it was actually Chuck Jones who wrote the checks to Larry Householder with the intention of bribing Speaker Larry Householder, who's awaiting trial. Good job, Joey, for looking out for the people and locking out Chuck Jones. Now the authorities need to lock up Chuck.
Well, there went dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone.
It is ironic that former Ohio Senator, House Speaker Larry Householder holds the name of Householder because Larry Householder could not give two shits about the households of Ohio. Well done, Jeffrey. And that littler giraffe just follows him around like a baby duck.
Speaking of formers in Florida, i.e. Mar-a-Lago Mussolini, it was on this day in 1822 that Florida became a U.S. territory, and the people of the new territory were just gay with glee over the new land. They were so thrilled that they named the capital Gainesville.
No, Junior. The capital of Florida is Tallahassee, and we love that capital because the word tall resides in Tallahassee. So please stand tall, Tallahassee, and lock out that idiot governor of yours with his stupid Don't Say Gay bill and his attack on the LGBT community of this country. However, there's good news in Gainesville, as the University of Florida, in a progressive move, is changing the spelling of their mascot from Gators to Gators, G-A-Y-T-O-R-S, in protest of the idiot governor's bill.
I wish that was true. I think it should become de rigueur in Florida that in place of the word good, as in good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and good night, it would be gay morning, gay afternoon, gay evening, gay night. I could get on board with that really easy. And wouldn't it be fun to gay morning, governor. Gay evening, governor. Gay night, governor.
Well, Jeffrey's not done. Speaking of holding rich, wealthy white men accountable for their crimes, on this day 41 years ago in 1981 in Washington, D.C., John Hinckley Jr. tried to hold Ronald Reagan responsible for his war crimes when he shot the motherfucker in broad daylight. Motherfucker is in quotes. Jeffrey, that's enough. You get back in the trees. You're a bad influence on the little giraffe.
I actually believe Hinckley shot Reagan and paralyzed White House Secretary James Brady to win the affections of Jody Foster.
Well, that's what he said. You talking to me? You talking to me, Travis Bickle? Dear God, how much of this can we take?
Yes, and I know for a fact that after Hinckley shot Ronald Reagan for his obsession with Jodie Foster, that he was immediately given a psychiatric evaluation and sent to a foster home. Child? You're going to bed without your vegetation.
But really, Hinckley did wind up in a mental hospital, St. Elizabeth's, after shooting Reagan and Brady. Joey says, I believe he was subsequently released. However, speaking of Brady's, Bilbo Rick's German Shepherd Bella is so thrilled about the return of Tom Brady to the NFL that she went and chewed some holes in a couple of Rick's footballs. There's actually a picture of her on Facebook, courtesy of the New York Times.
This just gets worse and worse.
Jeffrey still won't go away. Bella requested that Rick send the chewed-up footballs with holes in them to Tom Brady because his balls were now a bit, deflated. Lord. Finally, on this day in 1987, an anonymous foreign buyer purchased the Vincent van Gogh masterpiece Sunflowers for nearly $36.3 million. There's some real irony here, considering on this day back in 1867, Secretary of State William Seward purchased Alaska from Russia for $7.2 million, which amounted to about 2 cents an acre, which was a penny less an acre than Thomas Jefferson paid for the Louisiana Purchase. The irony is that we know, as we know, Russia is currently attempting to overtake Ukraine, and Ukraine's adopted the sunflower as a celebration of the country renouncing the arsenal of nuclear weapons that it inherited after the collapse of the USSR. The sunflower is planted all over Ukraine and has grown prolifically in backyards, villages, farmers' fields throughout the country. So watch out, Alaska. Putin may be coming on this anniversary to take Alaska back. This has been Joey's Journal for a What the Fuck Wednesday, March the 30th, 2022, with Giraffe Jr. and Joey 2 enjoying some sunflower seeds in the backyard. Yeah, that's the seed spitting. It's a little known true fact that both kangaroos and giraffes spit. And so there is a in an effort to bring us down from the $845 where we currently sit, there's a $50 sunflower seed challenge on the table. Thank you. Thank you so much to Joey and Giraffe and Junior and Joey too for that challenge. If that's met, we'll be down to $745 and getting closer to getting caught up. So, again, thank you. Hopefully folks will jump in quickly. And that'll cut down on the freak-out factor. By the way, Flavio, with a little information, we were talking last night about the fact that Paul from Parts Unknown pointed it out, and I did as well. We did not know whether the shot would be free. Well, I was at my local Kroger today, and like I said, I had to pick up my meds. Whew, that was painful. But tomorrow's shot day, so it was absolutely necessary. But anyway, I asked there, and I said, well, you know, will the booster be free? And they said, the pharmacist said, probably, I hope. And they're ready to start giving them out. President Biden got his second booster today. And I'll be getting mine soon. No sense in playing Russian roulette. Oh, dear. Flavio says the second booster will be free for people over 50. I read this in the Huffington Post today, that the second COVID booster will be free, but that funding for them runs out in June. So I guess get them while you can. And, well, at this point in time, given the statistic that the number of people who were double vaxxed and boosted in the United States was 29%, right now it's effectively at zero, although Joe Biden did get his today, and he said it didn't hurt a bit, and he didn't wince, and he didn't cry. Hopefully they gave him a Dora the Explorer sticker or something, you know, just to ease the pain. But it is prayer meeting Wednesday, and I'll see if I can't find some prayer meeting Wednesday material. But there were a couple of things that I wanted to delve into, given how absolutely silly the news has been of late. I found this both interesting and gratifying. In Germany, they maintain Buchenwald and Mittelbau Dora as memorials to those whose lives were taken, stolen, to those who were murdered in the Holocaust. And there's a ceremony scheduled next month to mark the 77th anniversary of the liberation of Buchenwald. and the Buchenwald and Mittelbau Dora Memorials Foundation has said that officials from Russia and Belarus are persona non grata at that memorial service. What they're going to do is they will lay wreaths for the victims of the concentration camps, and they will remember the victims from Russia and Belarus, but no Russian or Belarusians will appear insofar as Russia and Belarus are presently, I think at this point, unequivocally committing war crimes in Ukraine. The foundation director Jens Christian Wagner gave a statement yesterday in which he said that Ukraine and Russia appear to at least tolerate war crimes in Ukraine. And among other things, Herr Wagner made mention of the death of a man named Boris Romanchenko, 96 years old, survived Hitler and the Holocaust only to be murdered at 96 in his apartment building in Kharkiv, Ukraine, last week when a Russian artillery shell struck his civilian structure and ended his long life that had been already fraught with horror. On Twitter yesterday, the foundation said it would be unbearable to invite Russian and Belarusian officials to the ceremony after they murdered Boris Romanchenko. I'm actually kind of proud that they're taking that stand. 56,000 people died at Buchenwald during the Nazi era. Some 280,000 were imprisoned there. And by the time the U.S. Army arrived, only 20,000 prisoners were there to be liberated. And there's really no way to get an official estimate of how many people died at Buchenwald, because you can't really find out who all was there, because for once the Nazis did not keep good records. Good on them. Good on them. They have no business there. But one of the stories making the rounds today is this notion that apparently U.S. intelligence thinks that there may be, call it a disconnect between Putin and his generals, that he is actively having information kept from him by the Defense Ministry of the Kremlin. A guy named Sergei Shoigu was the defense minister and hasn't been seen in a little while. And according to military U.S. intelligence, what Putin is not being told is that And you know, how does he not? Well, I don't know. If you live in a bubble and all you do is talk to your bodyguards, his senior advisors are afraid to tell him the truth for fear that, I don't know, he'll just look at one of his bodyguards and say, please don't be putting bullet in his brain, right behind ear. And he doesn't know, we think, that his conscript army is being slaughtered and he doesn't know that the economy is in shambles from the sanctions. And like I said, Sergei Shoglu has not been seen in a while. President Biden said, I don't read anything into it until I see what their actions are. Everything remains wait and see, while places like Mariupol get slaughtered. Putin said in the last 24 hours or so that anybody who wants to get humanitarian aid into Mariupol has to first lay down their arms. So basically, Ukraine has to surrender Mariupol, or else he will continue his medieval siege and starve people to death. Oh, by the way, speaking of medieval, you remember Nick Fuentes? We talked about him last couple of weeks. He was the guy who hosted the America First PAC conference there along about the same time as CPAC there in Orlando. And that's the one where Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cuball went and spoke. Nick Fuentes, of course, is a virulent anti-Semite and a racist and a white supremacist, so-called white nationalist. Well, among other things, he's been rooting for all he's worth for Russia to grind Ukraine under its heel so that Joe Biden can be humiliated? These are some twisted... Yeah, really twisted. But speaking of medieval, well, Nick Fuentes, he says he's, you know, that kind of guy.
I'm a reactionary, okay? I support a country pursuing its self-interest. Yeah, I support autocracy. Yeah, I think wars are legitimate. I am a 19th century thinker. I'm an 18th century thinker, okay?
Keep subtracting.
21st century sucks, okay? The 21st century is trash. You think the 21st century is good? It's not. The 21st century started with a false flag in New York. Yeah, so that's legitimate. You know, going to war with another great power, that's the worst thing ever. But 9/11, doing that to your own people, well, that's fine. And then 20 years in the Middle East and torture.
Probably should have issued the hockey puck warning, shouldn't I? Been a while since I've heard a full-on 9/11 truther out there. But again, this is just another example of how if you go far enough to the left and far enough to the right, they meet and shake hands in the back in that long arc. You know, the arc of derp is long, but it bends towards stupid. As we can tell here from Nick Fuentes.
And all this other stuff, yeah, that's totally appropriate. I mean, just... You know, these people are insane, and these people are ridiculous. So, that's an 18th century mindset. Yeah, and I'm an 18th century man. The 18th century was kind of epic. Well,
I'm just guessing that he's not up there with the 18th century Enlightenment, Hume. The Frenchman. No. I think you're a few centuries ahead of yourself there, Nikki.
Well, actually, there's a lot of problems, but it's better than what we have now. I'm a 17th century thinker, so yeah.
He's gonna get
right
there.
You're damn right. I'm a 13th century thinker. I'm a 12th century thinker. That has no place in the 21st century. Who said I'm a 21st century man? I'm a 12th century man.
You're a neo-Maxi, zoom-dweeby, Nazi, white supremacist piece of shit is what you are. Then I'm happy to go on record with that. I mean, Nazis is so stupid anyway, but especially the modern variety. the modern whites. Listen to this. This guy thinks he's whitely superior. This is a white supremacist talking. This is the Aryan standard to which Nazis aspire. Do you reckon he knows anything at all about the 11th century? Wait, he probably knows that's along about the time of the Crusades. Earlier in the 12th century. He said he was a 12th century man. The King of France and his wife, Eleanor of Aquitaine, went on crusade. Louis. Sweet, sweet Louis. Simon Simple and Simon Pure, as the line goes. Ellen of Aquitaine in The Lion in Winter says, I rode bare-breasted into Jerusalem. I nearly died of windburn, but the troops were dazzled. Oh, God, how I love that play, that movie. Yeah, that's your 12th century. And that's the world that Nick Fuentes thinks he wants to live in. And more importantly, wants the rest of us to live in. This is the guy with whom, to use the language of Godzilla from Wasilla, Caribou Barbie, this is the guy with whom Marjorie Trader Gangrene Q-Ball palled around. This is her buddy. They're friends.
That just has no place with the UN and the internet. Oh, yeah? Well, fuck the UN and the internet and democracy, okay?
If you can't tell, this is some sort of live stream green screen broadcast in which he's waiting for somebody to say something to him in internet chat. You know, I read the occasional email because that's how a lot of people interact here. But this... Oh, Lord.
What do you think about that? You know what democracy has given us? Obesity.
Hitler!
Low rates of...
Wait, no, he'd be happy if democracy had given us... Never mind.
Literacy, it's given us divorce, abortion... Gay marriage?
Wait, the 21st century gave us abortion? Abortion is a child of the 21st century? Roe v. Wade, 1973? Mid-1960s for Planned Parenthood versus... Or Griswold versus Connecticut? Yeah, Lee, you're probably right. 12th century thinker, maybe he could stick with 18th century communications. You know, letters. My dearest Montesquieu.
Liberalism, pornography, that's what...
I hate to break it to him, but liberalism is born in that same 18th century.
Democracy has given us ghettos and crime and political correctness, diversity.
I mean, we were talking on this program, I think it was Dave and me last night, we were talking about Charles Dickens, who, of course, more than any other author in merry old England, brought the plight of English poverty to a wider audience, shown a greater light on it. And yes, the word ghetto does not appear as a function of the 21st century. Oh, God, these young right-wingers. That phenomenon that we identify so often among so many, they think that history started with them. Sweet Jesus.
diversity. Yeah. Track record of democracy, not so good. Catholic autocracy, pretty strong. Pretty strong record. Catholic monarchy and just war and crusades.
And witches burned at the stake and inquisitions. God, Nick Fuentes, I think we're gonna have to establish a new award here. We'll call it the Knightley Dunning-Kruger Award. We will recognize just profound cluelessness and give the Knightley Dunning-Kruger Award to that white winger who most doesn't know what he, not always he, but mostly he, doesn't know.
Inquisitions, pretty good stuff.
Wait, the Inquisitions were pretty good stuff. Okay. My God. But it's, well, just another day over in right-wing land. We talked yesterday, and this is in the way of a follow-up, and maybe a runner-up for a Dunning-Kruger Award. I think Nick Fuentes ran away with it. But need to check in with Maddie Cawthorn, you know, the cocaine-fueled sex parties. And last night, Matt in San Francisco's line kept running through my head after the program. The problem with cocaine-fueled sex parties is you never get invited to cocaine-fueled sex parties with people that you would ever want to go to a cocaine-fueled sex party with. So, Maddie and people doing key bumps of cocaine. Well, he has run afoul of that man of maximum spine, Kevers McCarthy. According to Elena Treen at Axios, McCarthy said, "Madison has lost my trust and is going to have to earn it back. And I laid out to everything that I find is unbecoming." Because apparently the man of maximum spine, Kevers McCarthy, gave him a stern talking to, Madison Cawthorn. To which I'm told Madison Cawthorn replied, "Gol darn it, Uncle Jed, you just won't let me have any fun. Don't you know I'm a double knot spy?" Lord, that is all. You know, it is sad. It is sad that is lost on younger generations. Desperate to engage in damage control before the Democrats might possibly screw up and start messaging on cocaine-fueled Republican sex parties. Kevers said, "Well, this is unacceptable. There's no evidence to this. He changes what he tells, and that's not becoming of a congressman he left. He did not tell the truth. That's unacceptable." The meeting, we are told, was about 30 minutes with Kevers McCarthy and his enforcer, Minority Whip Steve Scalise, the guy who was nearly blown away and still couldn't figure out that more guns in more hands is not more gooder. Had a long talk with that boy. It never works, Uncle Jed. It never works. "He's going to have to earn my trust back." Well, it's not like the Republican Congressional Campaign Committee is going to withdraw support and maybe support some sort of a primary challenger there in North Carolina. Because here's the bad news. In a place like North Carolina, Stan, and Ron and Raleigh, you can feel free to disabuse me of this notion if I am incorrect. Sane Republicans, why do I even go on? Sane Republicans don't challenge nut job Republicans. The only nut job Republicans who primary other nut job Republicans are Republicans who are even nuttier than the nut job in office. And then they try to out nutty each other. You know I'm telling the truth. You know this is a factual statement. The only hope that district has, and bear in mind that being North Carolina, Stan, Maddie Cawthorn's district has been gerrymandered within an inch of its very existence. The only hope that district would have is if a whole bunch of Republicans suddenly realized that, no, they're not, in fact, nuttier than a Christmas fruitcake. And decided to support the Democratic nominee. I hate to be Robin Kincaid, little ray of fucking sunshine, but that is just not going to happen at all. At least not until after 2030, when maybe if there's a Democrat in the White House, we might get something resembling a somewhat reasonable, possibly passingly rational redistricting. Now, I know there's redistricting legislation going on, but is it going to happen in time because of all the litigation in North Carolina? Because even a member of the judiciary there said, well, and it's not even the judiciary. The Republicans themselves said, well, of course we gerrymandered these districts to keep the black people from voting or having any impact in the election. What do we look like, dummies? And that's, you know, that's just an indicia of how brazen they are. They got the bit in their teeth and they're saying the quiet part out loud. My favorite, says Flavio, in regard to young Maddie Cawthorn, my favorite, representing Scott Perry, RPA, who's been asked by the January 6th committee to testify but has refused, told Politico's Olivia Beavers, I think it is important, if you're going to say something like that, to name some names. Yes, please do. But, of course, if young Maddie Cawthorn were to name names, he would probably have to make them up. Unless, of course, it was Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist, and his now wife, we don't know for how much longer, because Newton Leroy Gingrich changes wives like some people change socks, Callista. Yeah. Christopher, by the way, in Oregon, says, Whiteley Superior shot the gun. If we lived in the world of Minority Report, this MFR would be scooped up by Tom Cruise lickety-split. This guy's middle name is Active Shooter. I think that was with regard to Nick Fuentes. Prayer meeting Wednesday. And I ran across this one, and it... It's sort of emblematic of something we've talked about for a very long time on this program. The coin of the realm in the multimillionaire for-profit media is access. That's why Chuck Todd never asks a hard question, or if he asks a hard question, never, by God, follows up. And it is why, speaking the truth, Les Moonves back in 2016 said, Donald Trump may not be good for America, but he's great for CBS. Because he put eyeballs on screens. You know, just like Evel Knievel did when he was going to ride a rocket motorcycle over the Snake River Canyon in Idaho and various and sundry circus acts and the like. Well, CBS, because CBS, they learned nothing from the Les Moonves affair. All CBS. CBS got caught because somebody recorded a statement made by the co-president of CBS News, one Neeraj Kamlani, talking to staffers and said, we hired Mick Mulvaney at CBS News to get more access to Republicans. Being able to make sure that we're getting access to both sides of the aisle is a priority because we know the Republicans are going to take over most likely in the midterms. A lot of the people we're bringing in are helping us in terms of access to that side of the equation. Mick Mulvaney. Slippery, sleazy, slimy, dirty, nasty Mick Mulvaney. Former White House Chief of Staff, Mick Mulvaney. Got hired for access. God, if I was a shareholder at CBS or a member of the board of directors, I'd be throwing a fit that could be heard on the almost not at all rotating planet Venus. Wait a minute. You just shit away that much money to get access to Republicans who will gladly show up in front of a camera and at the drop of a goddamned hat? But there we are. What we've said all along is still true. It is the coin of the realm, access. I mean, this is the Mick Mulvaney who, no matter what Genghis Khan did, was there to defend him. With no fanfare, no embellishment, no caveats whatsoever. It was back in 2019. Name? It was back in 2019 when Mulvaney said, "Yeah, sure, the boss withheld aid from Ukraine. Military aid from Ukraine in hopes of a quid pro quo deal." And he's also a COVIDiot, saying that the mainstream media is trying to take down the president by reporting about coronavirus. And apparently at least one person in on the conversation said that morale is for shit right now at CBS News because of the decision to bring this mendacious poltroon on board. But whatever else it may be, it is, by God, no surprise. Because a dog returneth ever to, there's another shot across the bow of dinner, it's vomit. Yeah. Oh, and I failed to note something yesterday. A historic moment. There was a bill signing ceremony at the White House. Sitting at a desk in the Rose Garden of the White House, J. Joe Biden did something that no president before him has ever done. Republican, Democrat, Whig, nothing. Because after 200 attempts over the course of 100 years, the House and Senate finally got around to passing an anti-lynching law. And having signed the bill, Joe Biden looked up and said, "All right, it's law." It's a little unusual to do the bill signing, not say anything, and then speak, but that's how we set it up. He was flanked by a descendant of the historic, groundbreaking black journalist Ida B. Wells, who, despite threats to her own well-being and safety, reported fearlessly on lynchings all over the country. And Reverend Wheeler Parker, a cousin of Emmett Till. Vice President Kamala Harris was there. And its official name is the Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act. And Reverend Wheeler Parker said, "It's a long time coming." That it was. And Joe Biden said, "Lynching was pure terror to enforce the lie that not everyone belongs in America, not everyone is created equal. Racial hate isn't an old problem, it's a persistent problem. Hate never goes away, it only hides." Kamala Harris said, "Today we are gathered to do unfinished business. To acknowledge the horror and this part of our history, to state unequivocally that lynching is and always has been a hate crime, and to make clear that the federal government may now prosecute these crimes as such. Lynching is not a relic of the past. Racial acts of terror still occur in our nation, and when they do, we must have all the courage to name them and hold the perpetrators to account." Good language. How sad that it took more lynchings to finally get the bill on the president's desk. George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, and yes, Breonna Taylor. Lynchings are not defined by the method of the murder, but by the motive of the murder. Reverend Parker said, "That's what caused," talking about the lynching of Emmett Till, said, "That's what caused Rosa Parks to not give her seat up, and that sparked the civil rights movement, because she thought about Emmett Till." Now, I have no doubt whatsoever that the sparkle fart propelled unicorn cavalry purity patrol will say that it's too little, too late, not enough. But everything begins with something, and this is something. There is now a legal mechanism for determining what a lynching is and when a lynching has taken place, and it can be used to enhance punishments accordingly. Oh, and speaking of bad cops, from the Department of Oops, and in this case, the Department of Oops is in Georgistan. I guess this guy, a cop for the town of Millen, Georgia, M-I-L-L-E-N, a guy by the name of Larry Benjamin Thompson. Benjamin is in quotation marks. Is Benjamin not part of his name? I don't know. Well, Larry Benjamin Thompson was toddling around on patrol duty, it appears. And he pulled his roller into a scrubby, brushy kind of area there in Millen, Georgia. And walked around to the back of his cruiser and started having sexy time with somebody. And he thought he got away with it, but no, he didn't, because it just so happened that a guy was working on a cell tower not far away, whipped out his cell phone the minute he saw what was, you know, saw the humping and the grunting and and videoed him doing it. And then the next thing you know, using the hashtag tower climbers and the hashtag dirty deeds and the exclamation police caught on tape or caught on cam. Well, and there he was, a rutting on Mayella. Once it went viral, he promptly quit his job. And the police chief of Millen, Georgia, one Dwayne Harrington, said, "Well, I was going to meet with Benjamin, but danged if he didn't up and quit before I could do it." Yeah. And this guy was this, you know, the hashtag, not all cops, right? Only hashtag too many cops. He had apparently worked out this assignation. Yeah, I used the word assignation. What of it? He pulled over. They come out of the woods. Humpty, humpty, humpty. But he never should have been a cop in the first place at that point in time. No, and this area is about, maybe somewhere 60, 70 miles south of Augusta, Georgia. I'm sure spring was in the air, you know, and sap rises and shit. Officer Friendly, who didn't think anybody was watching, well, back in November 2019, Officer Friendly Thompson killed a 76-year-old motorist, a fellow by the name of Lewis Jenkins. He T-boned Jenkins's car while he was speeding to a call. Maybe he was storming. No, he was zooming along in his cruiser and killed Lewis Jenkins dead. Data showed that he was cooking at 86 miles an hour. Larry Benjamin Thompson was. Then there was 2017 when he accidentally shot one of his fellow officers in the arm. Upon inquiry, he said, I was cleaning my gun, and the gun, we've been here before, just went off. They conducted an internal probe and thorough inspection of the firearm in question showed, though it is referred to as an accidental discharge, essentially it is a negligent discharge. In other words, the cop lied his ass off, but he kept his job. Again and again and again and again. It was 2020 when Officer Benjamin Thompson Larry Dick Fingers Benjamin Thompson had been getting it on with a different woman, apparently not his good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christian marriage between one man and one woman wife. He'd been romping with her, and she complained that he was harassing her. And it later came out, and dude admitted, officer too friendly, that he ran her tags when he saw her, I guess, in traffic one day. He ran her tags to find out what her new address was. Now, anybody else caught doing that would be, well, guilty of several things, but one of them would be stalking. But Officer Friendly said, No, I had some of her Bruce Springsteen records and some of her Hank Williams Jr. records, and I just needed to give them back. Now, I don't know that he had records, but he said, I just had some of her belongings that I needed to return to her. Sure you did. And so since he quit and there was no formal proceedings, and since he has skated on everyone in the past, he can probably get himself a job copping somewhere else. Because that's how the cop revolving door works. Don't that just beat all? Kills a guy, stalks a woman, shoots somebody else in the arm. I mean, Andy took away Barney Fife's goddamn bullet. Made him keep it in his shirt pocket. But then again, all Barney ever did was call up Juanita over to the Bluebird Diner and try to get something going. Read a little impromptu poetry and some such. Yeah. And here we are at the beginning of the second hour of the program. We've got a $50 challenge on the table. We got $845 to go to finish the month of March. And so far, answering Joey and Giraffe's challenge, we are at zero. Oh, and back to booster shots. Tom in sunny San Rafael says, well, damn it. I made an appointment for my booster last night, but just got turned away because the county public health department hasn't yet gotten approval from the state, which hasn't yet gotten approval from the CDC for non-immunocompromised people, even though I'm 66 years old. Maybe in a day or two, they say. Well, I guess I needed the 45-minute one-way walk anyway. I recommend everyone double-check before going for the second booster jab. Wise counsel, Tom. Thank you for that. They told me at Kroger's today, oh, yeah, you can get it. We prefer you make an appointment. I don't know why. I was standing there. But an appointment I will make. I am not within walking distance of my Kroger, on the other hand. Thanks for the update, Tom. Good luck. A little piece of breaking news just came across my screen. The Department of Justice says that it has expanded the criminal investigation into the insurrection of January 6, 2021 that attacked the idea of constitutional governance and the seat thereof in the United States. The criminal investigation now will include preparations for the Stop the Steal rally. I wish the Washington Post would quit calling the damn thing a riot. It was not a riot. It was a full-on attack. It was an act of war. But Devlin Barrett, Josh Dawsey, Jacqueline Almani, and Spencer Sue write, the criminal investigation into the January 6th attack on the Capitol has expanded to examine the preparations for the rally that preceded the riot, as the Justice Department aims to determine the full extent of any conspiracy to stop Congress from certifying Joe Biden's election victory, according to people familiar with the matter. This would theoretically mean Alex Jones and the Publix grocery store heiress who Alex Jones convinced to give a shit ton of money for the Stop the Steal rally. Perhaps more importantly or more presently on our radar, I guess in theory at least, it could include the investigation of the activities of one Virginia Ginny Thomas, spouse of Supreme Court Associate Justice Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas. No comment from the Department of Justice. Of course, I would dare say that a number of us are less than sanguine about the prospects of anything actually being done. Flavio points out, but once again, laws are only as good as their mechanisms of enforcement, and we've been learning the truth of that ever since Trump's ascension on January 6th. What Hatch Act? Subpoenas? Let me add, what emoluments clause? What impeachment? And it goes on and on and on. Look, the lines are open if anybody wants to engage in any conversation. For this prayer meeting Wednesday, you are welcome to chime in either via Skype or via the stress line. Well, you can bring anything you want to talk about. And by the way, Alex Jones, I mentioned Alex Jones. A court has found him in contempt, civil contempt, because Alex Jones refuses to testify in the defamation case against him for his slimy, sleazy, filthy, dirty, rotten, no good attacks on the families whose lives were forever shattered in the Sandy Hook Elementary attack of almost 10 years ago. It'll be 10 years ago this December. Judge Barbara Bellis of Connecticut entered a ruling today that Alex Jones willfully and in bad faith violated without justification several clear court orders requiring his attendance at his depositions. That was all supposed to happen earlier this month. As grounds for her findings, she said, among other things, that Alex Jones broadcasted from his studio in Texas the day the depositions were supposed to happen. He had previously lied to the court that he was too sick to attend the deposition, but he was well enough to broadcast. And thus made a finding, Judge Bellis did, that Alex Jones intentionally failed to comply with orders of the court, and there is no adequate factual basis to explain his failures. Well, this has some consequences. And they are consequences that involve ciphering. The first day he blew off a subpoena now costs him $25,000. The second day, he's into $50,000. The third day, $75,000. The fourth day, $100,000. The fifth day, $125,000. The sixth day, $150,000. The seventh day, $175,000. The eighth day, $200,000 large. But the court is choosing the way of mercy, having noted in the order that if he just shows up for his goddamn deposition, the fines will be refunded, not rescinded. He owes the money until such time as he completes his deposition. So we wait. And what do you want to bet? He'll try to brazen it out. He will, of course, claim that he is being persecuted. Right. Oh, that shitty weather that I mentioned moving through the southeast this evening. Trey shares this. Red flag warning in effect until 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time this evening for wind and low relative humidity for northern Kentucky. No clue what a red flag warning is, Trey says, but Kentucky stand. I don't know what a red flag warning is either. Maybe it's the... Okay, so let me guess here. It's probably straight-line winds, so that means there's no tornadic activity, but they are winds that can have tornado-like speeds. Back in June of 2012, my God, it was it really almost 10 years ago? Yes, it was. The derecho blew through here and changed our lives forever. Blew a chunk of the roof off. Took years to replace that. FEMA was as useless as tits on a boar hog. Killed off appliances that it has taken us a decade to replace. And left damages that are still unaddressed. And maybe always will be, I don't know. But those straight-line winds can do every bit as much damage as a tornado, Tracer. So pay attention. Pay attention to your weather forecast. And if they say seek shelter, take them seriously. Red flag... wildfires, yeah. No, you fool, it is for a high risk for wildfires. Red flags. Well, thank you, Randy Bradar. You fool. That's nice. I haven't gotten one of those in a while. Yeah, thank you, Jeremy. It's a fire warning. That's the highest fire alert. And I guess things are quite dry in Kentucky. But if the winds are going to be high enough to stoke that, they're also high enough to do damage. Because, again, there are already tornado warnings in Arkansas this evening before airtime. Well, at least Trey, you don't have a toxic, crippled nuclear power plant nearby. Because, coming out of Ukraine, people who worked at Chernobyl trying to keep it relatively safe, Ukrainian workers in charge of the safety protocols for the plant, about 200 of them on March the 7th. The BBC says they have limited food, limited medical supplies, but those 200 workers rotate in and out fairly regularly. And they have been subjecting themselves to grave danger. But they are staying at their posts. But one of the things that they pointed out was that the conscript army of Vlad Putin. Well, one person speaking to Reuters said that the Russian troops were engaging in suicidal behavior. Remember, it was 1986 when Chernobyl melted down. That means in order to be even vaguely conscious of it, you would need to have been born in 1980, which means you're 42 now. or going on 42. So a bunch of the children, essentially, the conscripts that Putin sent into Ukraine, had never even heard of the meltdown at Chernobyl. And again, we talked about this when it was happening in real time. Radiation levels at Chernobyl were rising because military vehicles, machinery, were stirring up a shit ton of toxic radioactive dust at the site. All those Russian soldiers were breathing it. There is information now about a big convoy of military vehicles that drove straight through areas that are so contaminated that even the people who work at Chernobyl who are trained to deal with that sort of thing are not allowed to go anywhere near there. There's a 4-square-mile wooded area surrounding the Chernobyl plant. It's called, euphemistically, the Red Forest. And it's named that from the reddish-brown radioactive effect that the radiation had on the trees there. The Red Forest is not... It sounds like something out of Game of Thrones, doesn't it? The Red Forest is one of the most radioactive places on planet Earth. And Putin's generals... Hell, some of them may not be 42. Sent the troops right smack dab through it. And that they, the Russian troops just wandered around in their vehicles wherever they needed to go. Said nothing to the people who worked safety at the plant. The plant has occasionally lost power in the last weeks. Ukenergo, which provides electricity to the plant to keep it safe, said that safety may well be compromised. Yeah, I know what derecho means, Flavio. I know it means right. Oh, we call it derecho. I think I have heard it called a derechio a couple of times, though. We get, like I've said before, we get to learn so many interesting things in Appalachia. Methylchlorohexane methanol. Polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons. Yeah, most of the country, you don't have to learn about those things. If you live here, though, well, we have vocabulary lessons courtesy of Better Living Through Chemistry. It is right warm in here. We've gotten past 85 degrees. I got a feeling I'm going to have to buy an air conditioner for back here. We're not going to get out of April without air conditioning. Because it's like a sauna. Oh, let's run over to the stress line and see who we've got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Ron.
Yeah, what's up?
How you been?
I'm good. You?
Oh, just settling in.
Yeah, you've been on the road.
I'm on the phone. I'll be with you in a minute. Well, they're here. They're not going anywhere. Sorry.
That's okay.
You know, I was going to call anyway. Yeah, I know we had chatted briefly. I was actually on the train and going through, I think it was in Virginia somewhere. you know, since your picture going through D.C. Well, it was so daggone cold. Oh, my God. The past few days in Philly, it was in the 20s, and the wind was fierce. I mean, like 30 up, and I'm not exaggerating. I'm not. And I was in my old bedroom where I grew up, and I was like, damn, it was scary.
Yeah, it was blowing.
Yeah. Good thing I had a heavy coat. But I was going to call anyway, but this, you know, I would like to just kind of jump in what you're talking about now with Chernobyl, because I forget how old I am. And there are a lot of people who don't know how frightening that was. It was like the end of the world frightening.
Yeah, it was. And I don't know if you, did you see the Netflix series?
I did. I saw back. What they gave. Yeah.
Yeah, chilling.
Yeah. They knew they were going to die, but they did what they had to do. So, and you will hear from me later today. I just had to let my credit card cool off.
No worries, my friend. No worries.
That was crazy. But
Just tell me, did you eat good stuff while you were in Philly? Just tell me you did. Lie to me if necessary.
Are you kidding? That's all I did was eat and take care of family member, but I made sure I ate. Oh boy. And I got to see some live music. I met some nice people, saw some old friends. And shit, man. And you know, the trans thing and all that, that's not even an issue. You just have a bathroom. That's all, is a bathroom. It has every, you know, the little marker, men, women, children, everybody uses the same bathroom. Big deal. Big deal. You know.
I mean, that's what they do in their own homes, right?
That's a good point, isn't it?
I think so.
That's a cowbell. That's funny. Come on. It's the truth.
Well, I mean, in this house, you are at a risk of being walked in on by at least two cats, one or the other of them, or both, just because they like to keep you company. And okay, because they figured out how to get around. I am not kidding. They figured out how to work a doorknob.
Dang, go on.
Because the knobs are very old. The house is very old. The doors are solid wood. And it doesn't take a lot of work. And just the other day.
You had those old doorknobs?
Oh, yeah. Just the other day, the door to the studio here from the kitchen, Lucy jumped up on the counter. Because she was determined, she was just sure there was fun being had in here that she was being left out of. She jumped up on the counter, leaned over with her two little front paws, and moved the door swung open. She ran back, and we're like, we are screwed. They did that without thumbs.
Okay, you explained it. I can see a cat. Doing, you know how they grab anything with both paws anyway, sometimes?
Yeah.
Grab and twist. They figured out the twist motion to open the door. Wow. I don't know. That's nice. What did you think of those houses, those pictures I sent?
I didn't see pictures.
Oh, okay. That's okay. It's not the biggest thing in the world. I was shocked, you know. Philly is where, you know, at least my neighborhood, spotless. No litter. I mean, zero. You have to buy a bag at the supermarket. So people bring their own. I think it has cut down on litter.
Yeah, I just checked your email address in my Gmail and nothing there.
I think I texted them. Maybe that's probably why they didn't go through.
Okay, because they didn't. Sometimes you text to to the Skype number here.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see it come through. The last thing I had from you was on my way back from Philly, and it's been freezing. The wind was unbelievable. So yes, I agree.
Right. Okay. So I have to. Yeah, because you use the train like commuter rail to get downtown.
Right.
And those houses are stone, and they're old. I mean, like 1740, 50, 60, 1780 old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're kind of nice looking. That's why I should resend them. They're all selected. It's good to get away and come back to,
But it's warmer where you are now.
Oh, my God. And it's 80 something. It was 80 something today. But, it's still not warm enough. I'm still cold. It was that cold, but I'm still cold. I'm wearing a sweater.
It got up to 80 today, but I wore. I've got a nice little hiking skirt, but I wore a sweater up top, and it was perfect, absolutely perfect, because it was windy, still windy, and it's going to keep being windy.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but we're due for.
You almost peopled me. You realize it?
You heard that? It was well, okay. I did it. Then it was that close. Okay, it wasn't close. Yeah. Well, it's supposed to be windy and rainy. Tomorrow the cold front comes through, and so we had to deal with that. But the last couple of days when you and Tracy, you guys are having a great conversation. I think that was when I was coming back. That was that day. Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been Monday. That would have been Monday.
Yeah. And, this is like my first day back at work. And it was crazy. I felt strange. Because I was gone over a week.
I wondered where the hell you were.
Yeah, that's what I was doing. And, but I got blessed with a couple bucks, I tell you that.
Nice.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Tell me you got a quality cheesesteak and I'll be okay.
Oh, plural. The food. Oh, and I went to my old favorite Chinese place. They had white linen tablecloths and oolong.
Yeah, and in that cold weather, a nice steaming pot of oolong must have been nice.
It was wonderful. It was, and it's BYOB. Shoot.
Oh, it's one of those?
Mm-hmm.
You pay for the setups?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, actually, I didn't bring anything because I was just out running errands because, like, up in Chestnut Hill, there's just so many, so many cool places. I like the Irish places. I went to the one Irish place that I like. They were playing dub. When I got there, they played dub the next day. I was like, I'm here. And they had some good, they got something called Spellbound, the Spellbound Porter. Woo!
Yeah, I bet you, Brother Deacon Asa will know what that is. I always think, because it seems like a million years ago now, but it was 2019 I was in Philly. 3 years ago now, or 3 years ago this summer. And I think, and to this day, it's a neck and neck competition for the best ramen I've ever eaten between the little ramen place in the Lower East Side of New York and the little ramen place in Chinatown in Philly.
I'm glad to hear that because 3 years, that's recent. I've always thought that the Chinese food in Philadelphia was top quality.
I mean, technically being ramen, this is Japanese food, but yeah.
Oh, that's what I should say, Asian. You're right.
Whatever that street is that's the main drag, you turn a corner and it's little side street, and There's usually a line about 50 people long trying to get into it.
That's how you know, right there. Yeah, that's Race Street is the main street through Chinatown. 11th and 12th, and then Race, and then you know it's only about a block from the terminal. But they fixed up the terminal. I don't. It was much cleaner. It was much cleaner when I went there. You know, last week, the Reading Terminal Market. So yeah, there was this two.
That pickle place. That Amish pickle place in Reading Center. Oh yeah,
you'll never forget that. They screwed you over, man. they screwed you over. But oh yeah, the food. So listen, oh yeah, and they have like there's one place called the Foodery. And they, you know, they have, it's like a Nosh, they have, it's a deli, but they have every type of beer you can think of. And people are masked up. They don't play around. You can't go, you have to wear a mask unless you're in like a real neighborhoody bar and there's go live music and, you know, there's nothing they can do about it. But every train station's everywhere. You have, and that's a good thing. It's just too many people.
Well, people are taking it seriously. By the way, the name of that ramen place, for anybody who wants to go and find it, is Terakawa Ramen, and it's on North 9th Street.
Okay. See? 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, and Race. Mm-hmm. And see, right, you know, they had to do away with a whole lot of Chinatown to make that convention center.
Oh, yeah, I learned that repulsive history while I was there.
Somebody told you they couldn't help it, probably. You know, because I mean, it was a whole community. They wiped out half of the community that lived there. Yeah. There were a lot of old folks that lived there. You know, it's sad. But but it's man. I'm telling you, things are looking up. It in the city, in Philly, not the city, but Philly. Yeah, things are looking up. And like in my own neighborhood, it has seen its worst days now. It's upscale. I'm going to hold on to that house. No way. I'm letting that go. I'll pick up cans and pay the taxes. I don't care. But, it's nice going out eating good food and being around people who are trying to be decent. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it was probably really uplifting.
Yeah, absolutely. You know. And I got a big party coming up this weekend, so I don't know. I'm not going to have too much sleep between now and Saturday night. Sunday, I'll get some sleep. I tell you what, because on the train, you know, I got the sleeper compartment. So you got your own little room with a bathroom.
Oh, that's nice. That's uptown.
Yeah, well, I just felt like I couldn't do it the other way. It was a good. Oh my God. Okay, so here's the male Karen update. Oh, on the way down.
Isn't that a Brad?
Is that what it is? It has to be something. Okay, Brad. This guy is straight out of Queens, like not even the good part of Queens. And he's on the train, and the first thing he says to me, because I'm the part of the train I'm coming from, I'm not even going to do his accent. He's like, oh, you're in one of those compartments. How much did that set you back? You know what I did? I just looked at him. I didn't even respond.
More than you got, Brad.
Right. So I'm like, you know, so I didn't respond because he was loud and belligerent even before I got there. So then this woman walks by. And she's very nice looking, and you can see she's with somebody and some children. I'm not going to make any assumptions because I don't know if they're family or wife, who knows, but they're together. And, you know, he makes a comment about, you know, her body odor. He's like, oh, she smells like a goat. I mean, loud, like everybody heard it. And at that point, I kind of turned my back. I didn't even want to be associated. You know, I was like, I'm done with this guy. This guy, I'm waiting for water and coffee. You know, you know, this is in the club car. And you don't have to do that. Like, I really didn't even have to be. They didn't have it so separated when you're in the sleep, you know, when you're in the sleeper compartment, you don't have to associate with the coach folks. But sometimes you just want to get up and stretch your legs. But I see why they do that. This dude was, can you imagine, man? It could have been a shooting. Talk about my woman like that, man. It's going to be something.
Now, careful, because, you know, it may have only been a joke.
No. Well, she did. There was an odor. That's true. But that doesn't mean you have to say it out loud. Now, when you're riding coach from New York or Boston to Miami, you're on that train for almost 2 days with no shower. You know, and she was headed back to the... But even still, okay, so fine. Someone has body odor. Who doesn't stink sometimes? You know, that's not the point.
And for, it was for all have stunk and offended the nostrils of God.
You know, he was too old to be saying some stupid shit like that. You don't know, man, this crazy, this pandemic, there's a lot, people are really, there's a lot of people, man, this is just like exacerbating whatever mental illness they had, it's coming out. I don't know if you've experienced that, but I'm feeling.
No, I have. I mean, I think what we saw, I hate to even bring it up, but I think what we saw Sunday night at the Academy Awards was a manifestation of that. You know, when even the multi-millionaires are losing their shit, there's some shit being lost.
I would like, you know, I would like to discuss that a little more because I have a friend who lives in Philly, and she had her take on it, and that's, you know, that was her field, was communications and advertising. And that's what she, you know, she's like that. She's a people person, and somehow she can nose her way through all this stuff. So that was a setup to be. They made some kind of agreement.
See, you're not the first person to say that, but there is apparently no evidence of that whatsoever.
I think you're not going to find it.
I think a lot of us wanted to believe that. And by the way, Matt in San Francisco informs us a male Karen is a Ken. A male Karen is
K-A-N
a Ken.
K-A-N or
yeah.
K-E-N?
K-E-N.
It's okay, a Ken.
Yeah.
Ken and Bart.
Let me bring Steve in New York into this because he's on there too. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Goose. Hey, hey, Todd, and my dear, lovely Robin.
Well, thank you.
My southern belle, Robin.
Pouring it on a little thick this evening.
Well, you know.
Yeah, what do you want? What are you angling for, man? Come on.
And what am I angling for? Free tickets to an Alabama game with a tailgate party?
Yeah, I might be able to work out a Mountaineer game, but that Alabama stuff's hard to come by.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. I knew somebody who went to Ole Miss.
Yeah, I do too.
It was either Ole Miss or Mississippi State. And wow, the tailgate party, the pregame party that they talked about, I think it was Ole Miss.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it probably was. Ole Miss, they're in Oxpatch, and they throw a good tailgate in Starkville too, but they get real hoity-toity and snotty about it in Oxpatch. Yeah. You'd think it was the real Oxford.
Can I just tell you, the stuff that person told me, I was like, whoa. I mean,
hummingbird tongue canapes, you know, with hickory smoke and bourbon. Yeah, sure.
And from what this person told me, all of the hard drugs that you could ever want.
Very likely. Southern Mafia, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Anyway, how you doing, Todd?
I'm good, Steve. I'm glad you asked, and I hope you are well also.
You know, I'm okay. Struggling with some personal shit, and Robin and I have talked about it. And a lot of it probably stems from, or at least the pandemic exacerbated it. This story that I heard, and you know, everyone's probably getting sick of me talking about what I heard out of the UK, what I heard, and I haven't, this really hit me. And it made me feel like, you know, as bad as things are here, they're not as bad as they are there. And the story was this, that there are, I was listening to a radio show that I listened to there, and a person, and it wasn't just one person, it was in newspapers there and everything. But the show I listened to, a person who runs a food bank called in and said that things are so dire, you have people who are going to food banks and are refusing certain types of food because they can't afford the energy to cook them.
I believe that.
I do too, because you probably read the same thing, Steve, in law school. Because every now and then, in one of your textbooks, you'd run across some Court of King's Bench thing. I know we did. And they would talk about how if you wanted, you know, they... In certain areas, if you wanted to heat your home, you had to feed coins into, I guess, the regulator that provided gas into the home or for cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And for all I know, they still do that.
Energy prices are off the charts there. I heard one...
The Beatles...
One woman called in, and the lowest rate she could get was £500 per month.
For what? Gas?
Yeah, for her utility, for gas and maybe electric.
Well, look, that's bad, but I've had two straight months of $700 power bills.
Good Jesus.
And we're not exactly just leaving shit on.
You're not lighting it up.
No, we're not.
Okay. Lady and gentlemen, let me say this. Because,
yes.
I went back somewhere where I used to, it hadn't been 14 years, but it's been... I had two visits in 14 years, and they were not, those two visits were close together. So what I'm saying is about the energy. I had choices. You have choices. I could not believe my old house where I grew up. The energy bill was $158. I paid more than that. And I'm like so conscious of what I use in here. It's ridiculous. And it's still too much.
Scott,
and when I lived in a high-rise apartment, it was $13 a month. What I'm saying is that between the cable and the energy, it's our oligarchs. Man, these greedy people are running us into the ground, and they will look at any excuse.
You know what's so horrible?
That's all I'm putting out there.
When I first moved into Manhattan, I had a studio apartment. It was very large. It wasn't brand new, but the person who bought it gut renovated it. So it was essentially brand new. I was paying $200 a month in utilities. And I got to a point where I actually called Con Ed. Do you have Con Ed in, I think that's mostly in East Coast. It might be just a New York thing.
It's a Northeast thing.
It's a Northeast thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's New York and Connecticut, part of New Jersey.
Okay. I was in a dispute with them for a year. And I would get a bill, and my bill would have the – and if I'm getting way off the tracks here, please tell me because we'll talk about something else. So, okay, I see you, Mason. My cat is sitting on top of my desk all of a sudden. There was four charges. There was the use charge and a transport charge for both gas and electric. And I said to them, I said, why are you charging me per hour for a transport charge in addition to use charges? I just want to know the answer. I'm not trying to be a jerk here. I just want to know the answer. And I got, well, that's a tariff charge. I'm like, okay, I understand that.
Yeah, the short answer is because the tariffs of the Public Service Commission let us stick it to you, we're absolutely sticking it to you.
So I kept saying, I just want to know, it doesn't make sense to me. And I said, think of it this way. If I order a filet mignon or a hamburger at a restaurant and it comes from the kitchen, it goes the same distance whether it's a $5 hamburger or a $50 filet. So I don't understand. And the best response I ever got from a supervisor was, oh, that's a good question. And after a year, I got a 17-page listing of every single term you could ever want to know about transporting electricity. So
that was the extent. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I'm so sorry.
Well, no, I mean, here in our case, it's because we have to area heat. You know, the furnace, it was a heat pump in the first place, so that just sucked. Because once it drops below like 38 degrees, you're basically heating with the coil of a toaster. And it drops below 38 quite a bit here in the winter.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Our only choices are electric or propane, to quote Hank Hill's pronunciation. And that's a Hobson's choice. That's the horse by the door or no horse at all. And so because the furnace is long since dead, like, you know, 12 years plus, we heat with electric space heaters or kerosene and or propane. And so with the electric space heaters, those things just chew up electricity, 1,500 watts. You know, they're all rated for 1,500 watts. And you just sit there and go, no groceries this month. The cold, like this last cold snap that came through, just depressed me to all the hell.
Yeah, because you were all excited about
it. Yeah, I'm ready for warm. And I should know. I've only lived here for more than half my life. But nonetheless, that first day of spring comes and it's like, come on, get warm. Give me a break. Because, you know, the power bill won't be so bad through May, June, July. And you know, then we'll turn the heat back on in freaking September. And if that's what it is, I mean, yeah, it's terrifying, because this is our paranoia, economic paranoia moment. Coal fried everything around here, got umpty bajillion dollars in economic stimulus to get them through the COVID, and they got theirs, and they want everybody else's. Same with any other energy cost. Energy costs are at the base of all of this so-called inflation. And all it is a goddamn clawback. We heard y'all got some money. We want it.
I'm like, we want it. Remember that money you all got? That's really ours.
Yeah, send it to us. By the way, just by way of an update, Robert in Australia says, energy prices in the UK are about to double. The government have decided to loan people £200 to help, but you'll have to pay it back later. In France, the increase has been held back to 4%, and people won't take potatoes from food banks because they can't afford to cook them. The UK government's also talking about dropping sanctions on Russian oligarchs shortly because the sanctions are hurting the UK more than Russia. The city in the UK, think Wall Street, is filthy with Russian money. Signed, Robert in Oz, in isolation, where it's still raining.
Yep. I mean, London is the laundromat.
Okay.
That's the laundromat for oligarch money.
Yeah. Todd, you were going to say?
I was just, and I think Steve is correct, because that whole city of London is based on oligarchy and empire. But I was going to say, you know, we all remember the game Monopoly. I would hope.
Sure.
And remember when you got the railroads and the utilities, you know, you knew you were kind of on your way, right? You're going to stay in the game.
Yeah, if you've got the utilities and the railroads, that's a steady stream of cash that you can use if you should happen to be able to buy some better properties that aren't Oriental or Baltic or, you know, never buy anything below Kentucky Avenue.
Right. Nothing on the first time, right after go.
But so that being said, so, and I'm just going to use a reference that I know well, because the little town where I live, only because I had the tools and what I do for a living, you know, I got curious. I'm like, well, why are our energy rates so high here? Everything, water, sanitation, like, you can't be poor and live here. You're going to be out in the woods somewhere. Seriously. I'm not kidding. Because no, not when I saw what I'm like, they heat, I'm warm, like toasty, you know, but like to be like, I can't turn my heat up, man. My heat stays at like 63. Otherwise, I'm just, you know, blowing money out the window. And that's fine with me because I use a space heater. And when I have company, I'll turn the big, you know, the central heat on or whatever. Or, you know, depending, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so the point of this story is that, so I did the research. I'm like, oh, the same group of people who really got all this land, the same folks. Well, they call it city power, but it ain't. It's privately owned. It's a bunch of private investors. See, that's the thing. Like when I was in Philly, I'll never forget. I got this like in one of the high rises. I got a you know, how do you want your power? Choice. I was like, oh, I like this. Do you want green? Do you want this company? And it gave me the opportunity to do a little bit of research on each one of these entities that was supposed to be providing me with electricity. And so I picked the green one, and my bill was never more than $30 a month. Most of the time it was $13 a month for electricity. No matter what I did, it was so cheap, I would leave shit on just to see what would happen to the fucking bill. Oh, see, this is totally unfair. Well, see,
I've been militant about it for almost the entire century here, because, you know, I used to run around the house turning out lights in empty rooms and yelling, you know, they blow mountains up to keep those lights on, right? And it was, oh, there's Dad again. But it's
Dad
real.
Was right.
Dad was right. And
you see, that's the other thing. We all need to get, it's just the way it is. Anytime you see anybody using an old-time incandescent bulb, no, we're not doing that. No. You got to get the little, they have LED bulbs that look like a regular light bulb. Got to use those. Use the standard LED. I mean, anywhere you can.
I still want a hybrid vehicle really badly. I'd love to have an all-electric, but you see every now and then here you see it, a Tesla here, a Tesla there. You could not give me a Tesla because Elon Musk.
They're burned up.
Well, no,
because of him.
Yeah, because he's a dick.
That's what the professor said. That's right.
Which would explain the rocket.
Well, yeah.
My partner has a BMW i3, I think.
I mean, those. I think those all electric.
It's an all electric BMW.
Those all electric pickup trucks show promise. But I think I wish it wasn't so. The point is, it's hard to get around here, on the lay of the land here. It's hard to get around with an all electric. Like if I had a Nissan Leaf, you know, those things have what, last I checked, like a 72-mile range?
It ain't much. Yeah,
I would.
That, yeah,
I would, okay. If I went from here to Beckley and back, I would have to stop and recharge.
You know, Steve, I don't know if you've ever been to West Virginia, but I'm telling you, man, you don't want to be stuck like in Ohio or somewhere.
No, I've been. I used to live in Ohio. Yeah, no, I used to, and I lived in D.C., so I used to travel back between D.C. and Ohio and Dayton all the time. So, and a couple times I took trips, you know, off the beaten path. And I remember a couple times going, and I think I told Raman about this, going into the off the beaten path in West Virginia, and I was like, this is fucking gorgeous. I mean, mountains with all these trees.
Yeah, it is, till your battery's dead.
Okay, well, you know what?
That's right. I'm never going back. Something told me. I was like, I have to get a hybrid. I'm break. This is it. I'm about to buy a new car. There's no way I'm buying a full gasoline car. I'm redundant. So what? This jackass motherfucking salesman trying to talk me. I'm like, I'm trying to give you money, man. Why are you talking me out of what I want? What the fuck kind of sense is that?
Well, but it's the what kind of sense is it that, you know, here we are, we're a coal-fried state in West Virginia, we put coal dust on our damn cornflakes, okay? Coal dust frosted flakes are on the shelves. I'm making that up. But these geniuses of the West Virginia legislature hate them some electric vehicles that are going to be charged by coal-fried electricity. Dummies! I don't even like the coal industry. And I can see that.
Now we're into the bigger point that you know, maybe to make like Morning Joe, I don't know what is their problem, you know, sometimes. Because frankly, if you drive a hybrid, which I believe in, I'm like you, I'm not ready for the full electric because we're not ready for that yet. I mean, it's okay if you have enough money to have enough cars where...
Well, it's okay if you live somewhere that has the infrastructure for it.
Correct. That's right. And remind me, make that a bookmark because I'm going to tell you about these solar panels I saw on the way back down. But... the hybrid is perfect because it allows you to drive when you learn how to, and it takes a while. So I'm slow sometimes. It took me a while to really learn. There's all different kinds of gauges, but you always want to see green and yellow, because if it's green, it means it's charging your battery pack. If it's yellow, it's coming from the battery pack, or vice versa. But the red is always bad. But
that's like when Homer Simpson was trying to buy his Canyon Arrow, or whatever it was. And
I was just thinking about.
They ran his credit report, and the sirens went off. And, is that a good siren? Yeah, Homer, have you ever heard a good siren? Really, Homer? It's like the red light in a hybrid auto. Is there ever a good red light on your dashboard? No.
No, you don't want right. You never want to see that red arrow. And there's different ways you can look at it. Because, see, when you depending on the vehicle you drive, you know, like mine, when I hit the brakes, it charges up. And the thing is, when you depress the accelerator quickly, if your battery pack is really full, the power is going to come from the gasoline and
the
battery
torque.
Pack. But you're going to get a hold. You can alleviate that. If you slap that baby over in the second or third and start off, you're doing all electric, and you're going too fast. You're going to get a ticket. You know, you got to slap it back, but it's probably not good for the motor, they say. So I stopped doing that. But there's a way you can drive where you just really pay attention to those gauges and drive like you're supposed to. And you can get 57. And I'm not driving a Prius. I'm driving a full-size car, a heavy car. And I'll get 57, 40. I get like 42 consistently. That is no problem. But 57, I'm liking that. Are you kidding me? I could put $10 in. Well, before the gas went up, I was putting $10 in a week. And that was keeping me full because we had that, remember when we had that gas shortage?
Oh, yeah.
Remember
when the pipeline went down?
Right. So I was like, fuck this shit. Because, you know, in the South, And Steve, tailgating is better in the South, man. They know how to do this shit. You got to get, man. You spend the night. You get this is great. But yeah, you need a full tank. You don't know what may happen down here, man. We're spread out. I can go 10 miles out of town, man. I'm in Cornfield. You know, it's spread out. You can't be stuck. You know what I'm saying? And keep some, if you want to, keep some drugs and gas in it. It's nasty. That shit is nasty too. I'm never putting them on. Ugh. I just don't like it. I'm done. I'm sorry. I'm getting emotional, but I just don't understand it, man. Everybody, and Biden is doing it. You know, history is going to prove Biden right. The best thing he ever wanted to One of the best things that he ever did that no one's talking about is for our governmental fleet to be more sufficient on alternative energy, like electric and hybrid and natural gas. And we haven't even seen the fruits of that yet. But see, that was a smart, smart move. I think that's my opinion.
I think they're doing a lot of smart things. Not that the for-profit media is going to do anything about it. It's the way it's being reported now with somebody standing at their big board showing what 21% of Americans who never cracked any kind of economic information in their life think is the number one that nobody and 17% of Americans who couldn't find Ukraine on a fucking map think about foreign policy.
So you want to start talking about those poor ignorant people? Is that what you want to do?
Those poor people.
Hey, Robin.
They can't help it.
Yes, Steve.
Did you? I think sometimes I can't remember if I email or if I only dream about emailing. Because I had a great dream last night. Anyway, I have heard the argument that, you know, the whole thing about, well, Ukraine shouldn't join NATO because Ukraine should be neutral and yada, yada, yada. And the one thing, and I did some research about it, the one thing that nobody, or I have heard very little about, is that actually Ukraine signed a treaty with Russia. The one that I can remember was back in 97, where both sides agreed that they would respect the territorial integrity of each other, yada, yada, yada. And Russia first broke that in 2014 with the annexation of Crimea. So it suddenly occurred to me that maybe Ukraine has a reason to want to join something like NATO. Because they've tried to do this treaty thing before and maintain neutrality before, and there was another treaty called the Budapest Agreement, where they gave up all their nuclear weapons.
Right. Yeah. Well, so, I mean, I'm hearing all this talk about that Ukraine agrees to remain neutral, blah blah blah, and just because of my little bit of knowledge of history, I just look at it and go, oh, look, we're Belgiumifying them.
Yeah, what if somebody...
How has the guaranteed neutrality of Belgium worked out? I mean, I can think of a couple of times when armies dressed in Feldgrau didn't pay much attention to that.
No dispute here. I mean, how would we think if... If somebody attacked us and said, we'll stop the war if you'll just let us have...
Yeah, No, it's out of the Godfather. We just want to wet our beaks.
Yeah, just let us have X and we'll go away. Just let us have the upper Midwest and we'll go away.
I'm terribly curious about this so-called U.S. intel that says that everybody's afraid to tell Putin the truth.
Have you guys heard that that's kind of the latest? I mean, that's
They won't tell him how shitty his army is, and they won't tell him how shitty it's going, and they won't tell him about the war crimes because they're afraid that he'll tell one of his bodyguards to put a couple of bullets behind their ears.
This is right out of the Hitler playbook. If you look at the way Hitler treated his inner circle, it's the same thing.
Two big things going on at the same time at that fork in the road. What you're saying is absolutely true, and let's think about how long that table was. You know, he's paranoid. He knows his pressure on Pete. He doesn't know who to trust, and he's like a scared rat. And at the other fork in the road, you have, you know, Zelensky saying, well, you know, at the negotiations, maybe we're willing to let you have the western edges of our country, which is Donetsk and Crimea, which, you know, that's what Russia got some years ago when Obama was around. And, you know, we really didn't want them to have that. That's a bad thing.
But that may be the strategy to get some sort of normalization of their occupation of the Crimean Peninsula. And then if they can get...
They have a buffer zone.
Yeah, and if they can get Donetsk and Luhansk, more the better for when they decide they want the rest of it.
Exactly. That's perfect for them. That's all they want. That is exactly what they want. Because remember, like, think about risk. All right, fine. You take over some territory. Oh, my God. They've got more munitions, and they're coming back at us, and you have to retreat. You have to give up some land. But you always have to keep. In other words, you may encroach, but you have to count on being able to fall back. But you're going to maintain a certain presence. And now they're at that point. Because remember now, and that's where their sympathizers are, because Russia, I mean, I remember this shit vividly only because I had to. That's where they inserted all the Russian sympathizers, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago. They started sending people over there to that part of Ukraine.
Yeah, the
part closest to Russia.
It's the same shit that Stalin did. Stalin tried to starve Ukraine to death and then filled it up with forced migration Soviet Russians.
Yeah, see? They'll be talking about this on the news like in a few months from now. And, you know.
I know.
You have an awful lot of faith in the news. I lost, after I saw the interview with Sidney Powell from the ABC Australia, and then fuckwad Gloria Vanderbilt's son showed the clip and was like, oh, isn't this funny, without hiding his head in shame that this should have been him asking those questions, not an Australian journalist asking questions about somebody going crazy about our election. That was the straw that broke the camel's back for me. I almost don't even read American media anymore. Because they all suck. Sorry. I shouldn't be that way, maybe, but I am.
What, did you see that story, Steve, about Jenny Thomas spreading gas all over Ukraine?
Robin and Todd, how many times have you looked at shit happening very recently, and in the back of your mind, you're going, this almost sounds like a Tom Clancy novel, but I never thought it was real. I mean, am I crazy?
No. But it is. It very, very is.
Tom Clancy. He knew what time it, man, come on, he knew, right? That's why his novels are so good, because he knows what he's talking about. But, you know, come on, man, this is not as simple as it looks. Because remember, even Hillary Clinton, honest to God, now they were all fighting over these gas lines into Germany from Russia, natural gas. They were all fighting over it. And that's why, if you remember, during some of those debates between Hillary Clinton and the fat man, the nasty, damn, I don't even know what to call him now. I'm just so dumb with him. Yeah, I just see his ass on the fucking news. Okay, come.
Voldemort.
She said, no, they were arguing over who was more corrupt. And it's only because, Trump wasn't getting a piece of that money. But, Hillary had the finesse. So in other words, we don't like, life is hard sometimes. We make tough decisions every day, but leaders and people in power, they make really weird, tough decisions because they have to. Because at the end of the day, remember, someone has to be in charge. And, and some of that means you got to pay some people off. Even if you weren't trying to do the right thing, you still had to pay some people off. Because that's just how messed up our whole system is. So who would you rather have in paying someone off? If you can understand. In other words, what's the least evil?
Sure.
That's why.
Do you want stupid evil or competent evil?
Right. Exactly. You put it better.
No, you want evil who at least knows that, okay, I got to be a little evil here. Or do you want stupid evil going, I'm not really evil.
I'm just stupid.
I'm just stupid. I got to tell you a story. I got to tell you, right along with what you just said, Todd. You guys ever heard of Graham Norton? He is a... He has a... I've watched some YouTube videos. I find him to be really, really good. Well, he had Charlie Sheen on one night. Charlie Sheen was at some event before he got married, where Orange Voldemort was there. And Orange Voldemort walks up to him. He says, hey, I'm sorry, I can't make your wedding. To which, and it's funny because Charlie Sheen says to Graham Norton, I didn't invite him, but okay. So he says, Orange Voldemort says, I'd really like to be there, but let me give you a gift. And he takes off his cufflinks, and they were, I don't remember the name of the brand/designer, but Trump says that they're platinum cufflinks with diamonds or something like that. Well, a number of years later, Sheen says he's having, like an appraiser come and appraise a bunch of jewelry.
Oh, they're plastic.
They're close. They're pewter, and they're really bad cubic zirconia.
Of course.
And you know what? It reminds me of what, Robin, you and I have been saying this for how long? This guy is effing broke. He has nothing to his name. And when I saw that story, I'm like, that's all the confirmation I need, which is why, and again, Robin, you said this regarding The Apprentice, why he was so much into making sure he got money off The Apprentice, why he was, everything was about a grift. He's broke and he needs to maintain.
Yeah. And the thing is, with the sanctions, a lot of his money dried up.
Absolutely.
Because like Eric the Dumber, I think it was, who said, well, we don't need banks. Most of our money comes from Russia anyway.
You know what magazine that was in? Do you remember?
Golf?
Golf Digest.
Well, can I ask, when I say you guys, that means people.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah, and by the way, Matt in San Francisco remembers the story. They were platinum cufflinks from Tiffany's. Which actually meant that they were pewter cufflinks with cubic zirconium that Tiffany had given him for his birthday.
when she was 8 years old.
Jesus, these people. But there is one thing, and I've been seeing it for a couple of days now, and it reminds me of something that that Darlene in Connecticut said some time back, that, Hunter Biden is a problem.
Uh-oh.
And I know that, and she's right. He's low-hanging fruit. But
he's a pinata.
And by the way, we've got a $50 challenge on the table, as yet unresponded to. We are $845 away from being done with March, with just another 45 minutes of this program and tomorrow, which means we're kind of looking at screwed for the month of March. Did I mention the freaking power bills? Darlene pointed out that some of this stuff does stink, and it does. It fucking stinks. And I know we've said, you know, Hunter Biden, the Benghazi overtime. We will hear about Hunter Biden until we're all fit to lose our mind. And Scott was right. The right wing's been dragging Hunter Biden around like a little red wagon. But the problem is there is an investigation. And according to CNN...
I saw that last night.
Yeah, apparently witnesses are coming out of the woodwork to testify in an investigation that's headed up by the U.S. attorney in Wilmington, Delaware. Probably drove right by there, Todd. It has to do with his finances and his business activities. And, yeah, I mean, look, if you can explain to me, and I'm not trying to sound, you know, financially jealous or anything like that, but what was it that made him worth $50,000 a month for years? Years. I mean, I don't think there's anything that suggests any kind of impropriety, but Burisma, which again is a goddamn gas company, for 5 years paid him as much as $50,000 a month, 2014 to 2019.
And see, that's what I'm talking about.
And it made it, even if there's nothing there, it made it easy for Genghis Khan to have something to bark about. Now, it's 2014 to 2019, so he got the hell out, so nobody could say there was anything fishy going on during the Biden presidency. But there's just... It's the rule of old dried up dog piles in the grass. If you stir them, they will stink.
Don't just let them do what they have to do, and you know, that's it. Because otherwise, it'll never go away. It still may never go away, but just like, you know, we demand investigations of the last administration because of things that we've seen up close and personal.
And then, you know, this paragraph, you know, which just drives me bananas, because it's such shoddy journalism. As CNN points out, more and more questions are being raised about his ethics and the legality of his business dealings. No, they aren't. They're the same questions that have been raised from the first time that Nitwit Nero began grunting about him. Among the issues being looked at by prosecutors is a 2018 incident in which a firearm owned by Hunter ended up tossed by his then-girlfriend into a dumpster in Wilmington, Delaware, and whether or not he broke the law when he acquired the gun, because federal law prohibits firearms purchases by anyone who uses or is addicted to illegal drugs. Jesus Christ, and... every gun owner in West Virginia is going to have to be run in, because I dare say there just aren't many non-pot-smoking gun owners here.
I was going to say, Robin, you know, it's not like that happens very often.
And even though you can't get addicted physically to pot, it is still technically illegal here. Even though, and you know, that's another one of those things that Republicans, you know, the gang that could fuck up a one car parade. Our medical marijuana law was supposed to go into effect in July 2019. Well, 3 years later, you keep hearing rumors of medical cannabis shops. Oh, there's one in Grafton. No, there's one in Huntington. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's in an old U-Haul going from one place to another. But the, you know. This gang of inept.
3 years.
This gang of inepts and fuck ups. You can't get it done. And by the way, thank
three
you.
3 years.
Yeah, thank you to Earther for jumping in. We now are down to 8:35, and there's $40 remaining on Joey and Giraffe and Junior and Joey 2 the Kangaroos Challenge. Thank you, Earther. But the Hunter Biden stuff, and you know, being as it's being run from some Republican chop shop, they know exactly the timing. Primary season. And moving toward the, you know, general election season starts in September. Yeah, this is the old truth of, you know, don't peak too soon. By the way, is Duke still in the dance? Anybody? That was a total non sequitur and probably a function of the way my poor little brain works, but I don't know.
I'm waiting on Duke. I'm back watching all of Nova games, man. They know how they're playing like an NBA team.
Yeah, but is Duke still in it?
Well, we have to look at the bracket.
Yes, it's Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, and
Nova. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Nova. Yeah, yeah.
Will somebody please send Coach Ferret Face off to his retirement before the fucking. No. He does not get to send his bully squad into the national championship. Because even if Will Smith and Chris Rock was not staged, I will never believe that shit isn't staged. Never. But, yeah, by the way, Brother Deacon Asa, going back to that thing, said, Jimmy Kimmel said something last night that made me question my steadfast belief that the thing at the Oscars was staged. He said, why would Will Smith destroy his reputation for whatever this event was supposed to help? It wasn't staged. It was real. It was not a bit.
Can I say something? I just know because I'm not from West Philly, but I'm from the same city.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you understand how much money? I don't. People don't understand how much money that his conglomerate brings in. Will Smith, if he gives away more money than he makes, I'm not kidding. You look at the credits on a lot of documentaries. Anytime you see Overbrook, you got to look at the code words: Mill Creek, Overbrook. That's Will Smith, and part of that is Meek Mill with some of his money. Because they're from the same area, Mill Creek and West Philly, Lancaster Avenue. They have so much goddamn money. It's not even fucking, seriously. They can't, you can't spend it all. And there's no, what are you going to do with it? You know, and the reason I keep saying it, I didn't think it at first either. But you see, with the way he strolled off the stage, either that or he's really having some issues. But I don't know, man. That wasn't even a funny joke, frankly. I didn't think.
I didn't watch, and I don't give a shit.
Well, I didn't think it was a funny joke.
I don't care if they beat each other up. I don't care.
Well,
oh, by the way, since we were talking about Genghis Khan, he's been grievancing today.
Oh, Jesus.
It was, what time was it? It was almost 3 o'clock this afternoon when he said, I hear that very low-rated Morning Joe and his psycho wife Mika think that I should not be asking Russia what the $3.5 million that Hunter and Joe got from the mayor of Moscow's wife was for. Well, there's not an iota of proof that Joe Biden got shit. And I don't know, but in time, Russia may be willing to give that information. I guess he's had a phone call with Putin. The fake news is also saying I called Putin a genius when actually, and to be precise, I called his build-up on the Ukraine border before the war started genius because I assumed he would be easily able to negotiate a great deal for Russia. Oh, Jesus. And then, He then says,
just after the 2016 Clinton campaign and the DNC paid the FEC today for violating the law by failing to disclose that their payments for legal advice and services to law firm Perkins Coe was, in fact, a guise to hire numerous companies, all of whom are now named defendants in my lawsuit, to try and take down and illegally destroy your favorite president, comma, me.
Oh, God.
He's never going to go away, is he?
When he finally steps off this mortal coil, I wonder what his minions are going to do.
Oh, they'll swear it was a conspiracy and that he would have lived another 1,000 years.
Remember, I had a letter from a very good doctor, a great doctor, believe me, who said I should live to be 200. If I don't live to be 200, you'll know that Hillary did the same thing to me that she did to Vince Foster.
Tell me I'm wrong. Don't lie to me. Tell me I'm wrong. Anybody? Bueller?
That's crickets because we all know you're right.
Let's see. Where are the crickets? Hold on.
Perfect.
Yeah. Randy Radar says he'll go to jail right after he dies.
Well, that's... Yeah. So that's that.
I need to remember where the sad trombone is. There's a sad trombone on here somewhere. Nope, that's not it.
Well, listen, my good folks, I actually need to step off here, but I just want to, when Todd rang up, I was like, oh, I want to get on there with Todd, because I like Todd.
Oh, y'all have good conversations.
Steve, I enjoy your conversation also. That's why I'm glad you called in and we were able to talk.
Yes, I am pretty awesome. I admit it. I'm very humble, too. In fact, I wrote a 10-volume set on how humble I am and gave numerous examples of my humility.
Oh, let's see here.
Well,
I was waiting for the crickets. So.
Well, I was about to ask about the crickets. Like, no, what was the real reason for the crickets right before this? Why did you get so silent?
Who?
Well, because it's true. Stop that.
But that's... Shit. That's not the answer I wanted to hear.
Listen,
I need to use the crickets more often.
I gotta step off. But y'all have a good evening, okay?
All right. And say hi to Mason for us.
Will do. Take care, okay?
All right. You be good,
Steve.
Take care now.
Bye-bye. Bye now. That's our buddy Steve in New York. And, Todd, he's never going to go to jail, is he?
Nope. Nope. I mean, he might, but it doesn't look like it. But if we look at the bigger history of, you know, America.
Well, the business, how do you avoid thinking that the business with the New York, with the Manhattan DA, and I should have asked Steve this, how does that not just stink with the idea that it's dirty?
Oh, dude just turned his back on it. The prosecutor was like, I don't want anything to do with it. Where'd the money come from? Where'd the change of influence come from?
I mean, the letter from the prosecutors is freaking powerful. We've got him, he said. Everyone on this team thinks that he is indictable and that he committed felonies. But it's your call to make. But why make that? I mean, why run for the job if you don't want to do it?
Okay.
Or maybe,
all right.
Maybe I'm being simple.
No. Well, they had to think about possibilities. Maybe, and see, I jumped to money because that's a global reinforcer. However, what if people in his family had been threatened? You know, quid pro quo. You know, well, you know, you can do what you want. However, we know.
Nice little family you've got there.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
But see, we talked about him calling you,
Russia, if you're listening.
You know, he did. So enter Senator Kevin Cramer of North Dakota, because there's always some maggot out there willing to curry favor with their maggot base by by repeating him verbatim. So Senator Kevin Cramer today jumped out and, according to NBC News, said, well, I don't know if he has dirt on Biden. If he does, he should. He should reveal it, but he's a war criminal, so I don't expect that he's right now sitting around thinking about ways that he can, you know, reveal other information if, in fact, he hasn't. Well, that was a nicely tossed little word salad.
That was pretty good.
The appropriateness of things that Trump... This guy's from North Dakota. The appropriateness of... Why does he sound like Norm MacDonald in my voice? You know, the appropriateness of things that Trump asked for is more amusing to you than it is to me. We have a current president who's, you know, way more concerning to me, frankly, than what the former president might be doing. Dude, what's so concerning, Kevin Cramer? I mean, you know, he's mentally not all there. And the Republicans are having a shit hemorrhage because, of all people, Susan Collins said she's going to vote for Ketanji Brown Jackson. And the man who looks like old hot dog water smells, Steve Bannon, is trying to... get some riot going in Maine. Let's see here.
Would you be kind enough to let me ask a question about something that was mentioned about a minute and 20 seconds ago? Maybe I'm not looking at a clock. I'm just saying.
Oh, ask away.
Okay. So the prosecutor just, in New York, just turning their back on the case, basically. At the same time, we have a judge who has a written opinion, a federal judge, saying it's more likely than not, you know, that this happened.
Yeah.
That's
a federal judge in Orange County, California. Yes. More likely than not that he and Eastman violated the law and committed a felony.
You know, in conjunction with missing phone time, with all kinds of alkalite and places of power. But, so, I mean, where does that leave us?
Well, it probably really shit on Merrick Garland's day.
All right. So why, you know, like Eddie Mistal, you know, is that the name Mistal? I know his last name is Mistal. So, Attorney Mistal, who appears on a certain TV station, you know, he's just like, look, Merrick Garland, wake up. I don't know if you've seen him lately. You know, he's got the big fro.
I know who Eddie Mistal is, and he's brilliant, and he's right.
Because, you know, I've just been reading a lot of history today because I had to. And it just so happened I'm reading about someone named McQueen, who was a state representative. McQueen. And it's an interesting speech. It was in the newspaper from 1850. And he's basically, you know, giving these tenets in 1850 why the North is an aggressor, because they're complicit. You know, they want to come to war with us over slavery, but they're complicit because of their shipping and their factories. You know, so it's like a big, you know, we're all connected. And, you know, he states all these facts and he has data. And I'm reading it thorough because I have to. And I'm finding all these holes. And I'm making PDFs. I'm making notes. I'm dicing this thing up. So, you know, he just conveniently avoids all these facts. Just like we're doing now. Oh, you're conveniently avoiding that. Say, like, okay, Ukraine. Interesting. Weren't we trying to get them arms and then a certain person was strong arming and blackmailing and maybe they got impeached over it?
That would be true.
What is that part?
Yeah, that's true.
See, that's
funny how that happens, but yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, funny how that happens. So that's really, if it can't happen then when's it going to happen? And maybe that is what the Attorney General's office is saying, is that that's not their job. That's Congress's job. And I think years down the road, that will be the rationale for the reasoning of non-action.
Possibly. But, I mean, bringing criminal charges is the DOJ's job.
But Congress on the President of the United States?
On a former president? Yeah, that's the DOJ's job. All bets were off the minute that he stopped being president. That's part of why he continues to say he's still president. If he does ever manage to get indicted,
the election was stolen. I should have still been president. I've got the immunities. They gave it to me with my in my emoluments.
I mean, never, Todd, underestimate the degree to which stupid legal theories can continue to bubble to the surface. Because that's what Harvard and Yale and Stanford and Michigan and Virginia and the like churn out. Dartmouth, do they have a law school? They are literally jurisprudential chop shops, legal chop shops. Coming up with wackadoodle theories that nobody else anywhere would ever give a moment's credence to. But, oh, my God, if you're some sort of little right-wing jackass and you come up with this notion that the oath of office, because I talked about this last night, Frau Ingram with her UVA law degree saying, the oath of office means that presidents can't presidents with low approval ratings can't appoint Supreme Court justices. What? But I'm sure she didn't come up with that by herself. That's probably hot off the presses from the Federalist Society.
Well, that's what I was about to say. See, that's exactly. See, that I, you know, I'm not here to be a lack. You're lack.
Oh no! You're here to be a sycophant. Let's keep things straight.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah. Oh, smart aleck. So, you know, because this originalism—that's some made-up bullshit. Number one, that's in one basket, as they say. I don't want to be like using that term, but whatever. And then, you know, we have all these other folks that don't even know the Constitution, and they'll follow anything that makes them feel good.
Yeah, if you, there's about 33% of this country. If you tell them that Jesus is in the Constitution, definitely is. And like I said a minute ago, you got people like racist Bannon out there trying to get a nice little New England insurrection going.
Some of the Republicans are going along with suppressing it, and make Mitt Romney and make Murkowski and make Collins, make Susan Collins come before the people of Maine and make the case why it's okay to give her a lifetime appointment. Don't sit there and say, hey, she came on side of my couch, we had a cup of tea, and she explained it to me. That's not good enough. You got to come.
Funny, it was good enough when it was Justice Handmaid. It was good enough for Brett Kavanaugh, because I can remember when Susan Collins said that I talked to Brett Kavanaugh and he will staunchly protect a woman's right to choose. Don't you? You remember that? Because I remember that.
Yeah, of course. Well, you know, it's just shocking.
But, Steve, you know, the man who smells like old hot dog water, he was silent. He was as silent as a graven image back then. Oh, but he's got an 8x10 color glossy picture of Jesus doing the peace sign behind him, so okay.
Come forward publicly after we dump all these records, and you got to make the case, Susan Collins, and the people in Maine, and the people in Utah, and the people in West Virginia with Manchin, and the people of Alaska with Murkowski should be outraged that this is going to happen in your name. That's how it's going to happen. So it's okay with you, fine, move on. But it's not fine with you, and we know it's not fine with you, and Rasmussen showing the polling is not fine with you. And this is what nobody in Fox talk about, no ads out there, Leonard Leo quiet, judicial crisis number, I don't want to hear more about dark money. Let's get down to the bottom
of it. I'm sure he doesn't. Because God knows, what were $10, $20 million in dark money that went into the confirmation of Brat and Justice Handmaid?
Okay, so that's what I was about to say. No, how often do we hear about those disappearing debts? I've got a lot of money. That
never. I bring it up just like, you know, anytime Nimrata Haley's name comes up, I just remember the time when the boys from the Morning Zoo crew of Moscow 91.5 happened to call in and convince her that there was an island nation named Bonobo. Bonomo.
Well, all right. So when you put all these factors together, all this data, you know, so it appears to me it's too late. All right. These people are already laying in wait. They did it once. They'll do it again. They're not listening. They don't care. They want what they want. And actually it's a done deal because they have the Supreme Court. Thomas hasn't said anything about recusing himself from the insurrection, which will in fact make it legitimate. So we can forget about it. I mean, that's what I see now. You know, it's just, you know, you've got to extend white supremacy for another 100 years to make people feel okay. And I don't, you know, it's not about hating white people. When you say white supremacy, it's not, it's like, nope, you know, what kind of philosophy, like you're better than someone else because of your ethnicity? That's stupid. That's what people say when they're against white supremacy. It's not like you hate white people. That's bullshit. Just to get that out there, because apparently people don't understand that. You think I'm off base here?
No. No.
Okay. Because I assume a lot sometimes. And then when you talk to people, it's like, oh, I didn't know that. You know, they weren't aware of that. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's like what Tracy was saying the other night. But so, yeah, I'm sorry, but that's pretty much where we are. Because Benny Thompson was reading off these charges and then followed up by the federal judge in, California? So, and nothing is going to happen. You know, and he was out there, on Morning Joe. I don't know where he was. I was headed out. It looked like it was something, it could have been in Florida, but he was on some, being interviewed by two people. One woman is in the foreground, other guy in the background. And he was talking about somebody getting $3 million. He must say, yeah, it was Hunter Biden. That's what it was.
Yeah, no, that's what Genghis Khan was grunting about earlier.
Morning Joe, and
you probably covered
that Morning Joe and his psycho wife Mika.
Can you imagine the gall of him? It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. But this is who we are. This is what a lot of Americans want, so I guess we're going to get what they want. We got, that's it. So, yeah. You know, hide your books before you burn them. Yeah, man, that's my thought. Well, anyway, you'll be hearing from me and try to work it into a challenge. And I hope it's not too cold tonight.
Yeah, and no, it's going to be bearable tonight. By the way, you got a note from Jude.
What's up?
Returning a kindness once spoken to me. It's good to hear Todd's voice.
That's nice.
So very sweet.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's pretty damn depressing.
Well, I mean, I'm a little ray of sunshine, and I know it.
I mean, we're not even talking about Ukraine. We're talking about us.
Yeah.
You put all that together, it's some fucked up shit, man. I mean, seriously, this Chernobyl thing, what in the world? Wait a minute. I mean, I can't go yet, because seriously, I don't know who's paying attention.
I mean, imagine you're 18-year-old Russian boy, and you've never even heard the word Chernobyl, and you go rolling through a really creepy forest, and a few days later you start coughing. And a couple of days later you start dying. And nobody's fired a shot in anger at you. You thought you were home free. And lo and behold, you and all your mates are dying of radiation poisoning. Because they didn't even care enough about you to not send you through a toxic radioactive waste zone. Because I guarantee you maybe mama or grandmama back in Mother Russia damned well know about Chernobyl. And they know about the women who grieved for submariners at the bottom of a damn near frozen sea when a reactor went bad and a submarine went missing. Because they don't have good or open mass media there, but they do whisper. And sometimes the whispers go further than the mass media does.
Mm-hmm.
Know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I do. And it goes to the crowd because of the nature of it that will spread it. You know, because it's the young people who know how to navigate through.
And it kind of goes to something Kevin just wrote me from Massachusetts a little bit ago. If Putin could be taken out from the inside, and I know I'm dreaming here, then they get Navalny on the next train out of Siberia, install him, and hopefully put in a democratic government. That would cut the head off the world's autocratic snake, and then maybe Trump would get his comeuppance. Russia with a democratic government would send shockwaves through the world. Yeah, it would, and it's a question of whether or not one man can turn it democratic, because, you know, Putin was not born to the presidency. There are historic precedents for peoples who really don't want to be self-governing. And I know this sounds snotty.
Well, yeah.
I think about when it was, I can't remember if it was Nero or Caligula was murdered. And there'd been all these people running around the Roman Senate saying, "Oh, we've got to restore the Republic. We've got to restore the Republic." And it's like, well, okay, Caesar's dead. Restore the Republic. No, we need a new emperor. Because, you know, when it's a power vacuum formed by one personality, then there's always another personality who wants to step into that. And the fact of the matter is, we kind of get all, you know, we kind of get all excited about Alexei Navalny, because he appears to be not as awful as Putin. But we're back to that dichotomy between evil and stupid or evil and clever. And what we may be dealing, because Navalny is, There's not a lot of space between Navalny, as far as I can, what I can tell, for instance, there's not as a lot of space between Navalny and Putin on the so-called gender freedoms.
No, he just wants a more orderly, and right, he's just a little different. He presents himself
maybe
better.
A slightly less kleptocratic tyrannical rule. Now, I'm not saying that as a certainty.
Woman.
It's a shitty thing that's been done to him. I mean, hell, apparently, what's his name? Roman Abramovich, whatever. And a Ukrainian negotiator were lightly poisoned just to kind of send them a signal. Did you catch that?
See, we're on the same page here. You've just hit on, I mean, these are all like crazy great bullet points you've hit on. Not all, but a lot of what you said. You're talking about the poisoning. You're talking about there's a certain segment of that particular area and a lot of areas that they just want to be led. They don't want to be free thinkers. They want somebody to tell them what to do.
There's 33 to 43% of this country that want that for us.
Well, see, it ain't that hard. Then you're talking about,
the governor of Texas has more in common with Vladimir Putin than he does with the governor of California. The same for the governor of Alabama. Or Tennessee. Or Georgia.
Do you remember how we had been talking about how all this through, I'm not saying it was all RT, but how folks have been softened up to Russia, just everyday Americans. And they're like, well, Putin's not that bad. You know, that's them. Yeah. And they don't even get it. They're not thinking it's through, in my opinion.
Yeah, and, I mean, hell, most of them. See, here's how the song goes, okay? This is not me saying this. Hell, most of them people were serfs and peasants not 100 years ago. They, some of them ain't but learned to read within the last... Their daddies and mamas were the first ones learned to read. They ain't fit to govern theyselves. They got to have a strong man. How far is that dude from... Just give Trump a chance.
That's his thing. Yeah, what you said is quite true. I mean, in this state, a lot of folks, most folks got rejected from World War One because they were too unhoused, too stupid, and too sick. Because they ain't have nothing. But see, whoever was that Kevin that sent that email in that sparked this?
Kevin in Massachusetts. Yeah, I'm not gooning on your idea. Kevin, I'm just pointing.
No, I don't take it that way at all. No, I don't take it that way at all. I'll let you know if I feel offended or something. But seriously, like think about, because think of, man, if Russia got their shit together, if they were, like, they can never, I don't, they've not been able to do it. If they were a real democracy, look at what, they got all the stand countries, not all, they have some stand countries. They have,
yeah, but see, they would still have, I mean, because we're back on that risk board now, Todd. Mm-hmm. You gotta keep Chechnya in line. You gotta keep Georgia in line.
Well, they have to learn how to make some money in a real way.
And that's the one thing, that I had that clip from that Nick Fuentes freak at the beginning of the program. What's democracy ever done for us? first of all,
shut the fuck up, Donnie.
But rule one, democracy in the United States has always been more aspirational than operational. Ask, I don't know, any woman before 1919. How was that whole women's suffrage thing going? How many votes were cast by women before 1919 in this country?
Man, that was a rough year. That was the Red Summer. There was a lot. Boy, after the Klan was at their height, there was a whole lot more.
You know, as Eddie Glaude Jr. pointed out, I love it when he shows up on my Filthy Morning Habit, because I know I'm going to hear some actual intelligent language spoken. Yeah, he said a month or so ago, he said, we have to remember this country has only been a multiracial democracy since 1965.
Yeah.
And that'll sober your ass up kind of quick.
Okay. What he said is true, right?
And so, hands up, and I know we're dealing with the Horn Family Community Congregation, so we're all going to get this one right. World's largest democracy.
India.
Bingo. What is the world's largest democracy doing these days? The world's largest democracy is passing laws that say Muslims can't marry Hindus. Democracy is no guarantee. It's the commitment. It's the commitment to principles of equality and equity. This is entirely tangential, but there's a series on women's sexual health on Netflix that's absolutely brilliant. Probably wouldn't kill a few guys to watch it too. It's called the Principles of Pleasure, and it is an attempt to, in a very non-judgmental, non-cishet normative way, teach women about their bodies, and they are inclusive of women's bodies that don't happen to be cis, which was encouraging to me, because I have things to learn. But, you know, so they interview ordinary, workaday, all walks of life women, one of whom is a woman from India, or who was born in India, or raised in India. And she said, I can promise you that attitudes toward female sexuality in India are anything but enlightened. And your only purpose in life is to squirt out babies. And you're certainly not supposed to enjoy it.
Haven't we seen all these terrible incidents of someone being accused of being a prostitute or let's say free with her body,
raped to death,
and then they get raped to death.
Okay, raped to death. And so, I'm not trying to get sidetracked, but. You know, when we generically praise the merits of democracy, well, hell, even Madison and Hamilton weren't all sold on democracy.
They said what you said. No. That's how we started. When you said, look, most of us are fucking stupid. I'm paraphrasing. Remember when you said, okay, I'm raising my voice. Remember when you said, that okay, you know, I'm making these statements about World War One inductees, and he said, "Well, there's a song about that, blah blah blah." So, you see, that was, remember when we started out, you know, and I hate to say it, when I bring this up, like nobody knows, like few people, a lot of people in my crowd, but just you go out, if you're in a supermarket, yeah, good luck.
Yeah, but if you talk about that shit, somebody's going to accuse you of critical race theory. Don't you be talking about that American history. That's your critical race theory right there. That's what that is, critical race theory.
No, it's just how we used to work. Like, in other words, you voted for your local folk, and they voted for the people who would represent you.
Well, it's right there in black and white in the Federalist Papers. Madison says, listen, we're not going to do democracy. We're just going to call whatever we come up with democracy.
Yeah, you voted for people who would vote for you. So basically it would trickle up to the congressman. You know, whoever's in Congress here, they would vote for the president.
Yeah, in the Constitution, the framework that Madison and Hamilton and the gang came up with, their idea of democracy is the House of Representatives and only the House of Representatives. And we're only going to let those fuckers stay in there for 2 years at a time. and we're only going to let white property-owning men run for the office, and we're only going to let white property-owning men vote for the white property-owning men who are running for the office. There! Done! Democracy!
And even
Madison, by the end of his life, was saying, you know, we got to expand who gets to vote in this country. This ain't going to last.
Wait, they met at the tavern. They're like, hey, they got a new keg in. Let's go take that. You know, we need to talk about this.
Is that a pint of laudanum in your hip pocket? Come on, let's go.
Because I'm feeling like we need to catch a buzz here. Let's have a talk. Yeah, what was that nice clay pipe you had? I heard you've been down in the Virginia Gold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, burly my ass. I understand the message they're trying to send, but I'm too informed for my own good. And so when I hear, you know, the politicians on Canada, our democracy, and you know, who knows, if lightning strikes and I get elected to office, I may talk about our democracy.
That's what I was going to ask you, because, you know, I've been out of the loop. So what's the status with that?
Well, trying to fundraise. Hey, finally got the Act Blue link up, or finally got the Act Blue account set up. So if you go to Act Blue, if you go to actblue.com, I think. Let me look. Yeah, it'll take me. But anyway, if you go to Act Blue and look for Robin for All of Us, RobynForAllOfUs, Robin for All of Us, the link is there for, like, you know, giving. Let me see here.
And before I forget, yeah, you know, we're going.
Yeah, hold on. It's secure.actblue.com/donate/Robin for All of Us. Robin, R-O-B-Y-N, the numeral for all of us. And that has nothing to do with the funding in this program and everything to do with the funding of...
You should be in there. That'd be... You know what? I think that's a beautiful thing. I don't think I've told you that yet. I'm just telling you.
Well, in this district, I'm the best candidate for the job.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I don't care, you know, it's a shame, but that's what's so messy about this ethnicity thing. I understand, like because people have been chilling so long. Yeah, you know, if that's why we have their regulations, because if you're in a place where they keep shitting on people who are qualified, then you've got to make a slot. But otherwise, you know, it's the most qualified person. But it's
unfortunately, it doesn't.
But
work. It doesn't work that way. Let me just share something that. And Kevin in Massachusetts is right. You'd hear Trump shed his drawers all the way from Mar-a-Lago if Putin was neutralized. And Kevin's not wrong.
Well, that's the thing. We're in that bad situation here. We're in a bad situation. We have a misinformed nation over there, right? They're not getting it. I mean, when you brought up, that was shocking. I mean, that's just that you don't understand what they did to me. We're talking about young Russians that don't even know what happened in Chernobyl. It's like, that's crazy. It's too much, man. We have to have competent people. Thank God Biden is in office, I think. You know, look, everybody else is, who knows? I don't know why. That's his son, though. At the end of the day, guess what? That's his son. And I know he told his son, he made it public. He said out loud, yeah, I told him not to do it. So pull that shit up. It's out there. Just pull it the fuck up. Morning Joe, pull it up. He said, I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think you should do it. And you can bet your bank on that. I know what the fuck I'm talking about.
You know of which you speak. I got to roll out of here.
Okay.
Because, you know, got to do the upload and all of it and all the other stuff that I have to do every morning, every evening of my life. Lord, that's going to go on for a while.
Well, people, look, first-time listeners, we need you to, like, reach out. You know what I'm saying? So just do what you can do. And, you know, it's the right thing to do.
It would be, it would be most helpful.
So, that being said, all right, I'm going to get out of here because you got to get out of here. And thank you for taking my call. It was nice talking with Steve. And
thank
Tracy,
you for making the call.
Tonight, all my friends, you know, and, you know, it's too many to list. So, anywho, all right. All right, lady. I'll talk to you later.
All right, you have a good evening, and we'll talk soon. And I don't know, it, in the morning when you get up, you know, do something to fortify yourself before you turn on Washington Journal or the Filthy Morning Habit. That shit can be rough.
Oh, that's rough work. Oh my goodness. Now. You know, this is an experience. This is an amusement park ride that every member, anybody who listens to this program, you must, if you can, you don't have to get up in the morning. If you have internet, you can listen to it. Just listen to your, you know, your fellow bipedals in this country.
That's about as generous as you can be, your fellow bipedals, your fellow neotenous primates.
Because they're out, these are the folks that you are interacting with every day.
They walk among, how many times have I said, Todd, they walk among us?
They walk among us. This is fucking, man, this is some movie shit.
Oh, and by the way, entirely separate topic before we go. Jeremy in Vermont wrote a little bit ago to say, hey, by the way, we are only 22,000 dead people away from 1 million dead from COVID. And then Lady B just wrote in and said, breaking news, ivermectin failed as a COVID treatment. A large clinical trial found, you know, horse paste. I like the apple flavor. I wash it down with a pint jar of pee-pee. The link is to...
It worked here, just like the currency.
Lady B said, just wanted to let the Horn family know the obvious. It's a goddamn shame folks are shitting out their intestinal lining because of the lies of a psychopath. And say hi to Todd for me. Say hi to Lady B, Todd.
Lady B, that's the funniest thing I've heard in weeks.
Funny and goddamn sad at the same time.
She has a way with words. And she was on my mind when I said too many people are mentioned. It's just so many, you know, it's so many folks. And we've been talking so long, you know, and I was hoping it wouldn't end up like this. But, you know, if these folks don't get convicted for an insurrection and all the related activities, you know, nothing else matters.
May you live in interesting times. Let's remember that's an old Chinese curse, not an old Chinese blessing.
I'll have to talk to Calgon about that.
My husband, some hotshot. Here's his ancient Chinese secret, Calgon. God, you just had to do that, didn't you?
I have to dust off my walker. I have to get outside.
I understand. There's people to tell to get off your lawn. I know.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah, it might be some clouds to yell at.
Shoot, man! Look, this thing tomorrow,
quit,
man.
Quit floating so gall darned fast, you clouds.
They were looking weird. No, honest to God, like I have a very nice view of my desk. There have been some low cumulus. Cloud, not nimbus, but you know, just a light fluff when it's getting very low and it's just moving around. You can tell the new front is coming in and the air is different. I don't know. To me, that's interesting. It's nice to get a new batch of air, but not this way. But I'm just saying, man, we're going to be in for some shit. And the eyes, you know, like you said, the eyes. You've been on fire the past couple of days.
2 days.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I try to bring the A game. Sometimes I don't know if I do. It all depends on what kind of feedback I'm getting. I try not to be stupid, but it's not always a guarantee. Well,
you know what? If you think I'm being stupid, just go S. Just say S. Because sometimes I think I say stupid.
I don't think, no. I've never caught you being stupid either.
Wow. That's a big deal. I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, I, on the other hand, don't know what red flag warnings are because, you know. Oh, well. But I learned red flag warnings mean forest fire risk. And you can bet your ass I will not forget it.
And you're probably on the side of the hill, like on the top. You better watch out.
Yeah, better watch your ass. By the way, a closing note from Jude. Hello there to all listening here and grateful. There are moments in our lives when unfocused energy charges from others, seeks to disperse multi-layers of toxicity. Holding the ground of one's center core affords us the opportunity to remember who we truly are and what we mean to each other. That action realigns the energy within and does not become a charged byproduct from the undisciplined walking amongst us. Take care. From the undisciplined walking amongst us. That's the they who walk amongst us. Rumi, the Sufi poet, whom Jude loves and with whom I am somewhat familiar, who wrote a lot of beautiful stuff, said, "I love my friends neither with my heart nor with my mind. Just in case, heart might stop. Mind can forget. I love them with my soul. Soul never stops or forgets." That's lovely. That's lovely, isn't it?
That is true. That's that electricity you feel when you know that you're cool. That, I'm telling you, you feel it's called the thing. You know, and man, that's a good bag. You know, that's what that is. You can tell, like, some people, their energy is not good.
Say good vibes again.
I'm just saying, if you open yourself up, you can tell. There's some people you just don't want to, like that guy I was talking about, anyway.
Yeah, the guy on the train. Yeah, right, the guy on the train. Yeah, so what did that cabin set you back there?
You know, you don't even know me, man. What the fuck are you doing? Ew.
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 We're gonna have to make an MP3 of Todd going, "Ew." That could come in handy. All right, Todd.
Uh-oh.
You have a good night, my friend. I'm overtime. We're never gonna make it to tomorrow. What do you want to bet? What do you want to bet? Podbean. What do you want to bet? Podbean shuts me down. Trying to upload tonight's program. I'll let you know.
They're just poopy. All right. You know. Anyway, I hope you have a great evening. Stay warm.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Take care, Todd. Thanks so much. Bye. And so here we are at the end of the program. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Arthur, for jumping in on the $50 challenge. Thank you. We got $40 to go on that. And Lord God, we got $835 to go just to finish the month of March, and we'll see if we can finish it tomorrow. Thanks to all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks so much for your kind gifts that help keep all of this going. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you. I have to check here. I did a piss poor job moderating in the chat room this evening, but fortunately there were no explosions or blowups. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Headon.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is Headon.live. I will be filling in for Malloy the 5th, 6th, and 7th of April. That is next Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, is it? I'm so easily confused. No, that's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'll be filling in for Malloy. Hope you'll join in. I always enjoy that. Hope you do, too. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Now a union shop. Please, please, pretty please, reach out to your member of the House of Representatives. Ask them to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AHE Act. It means the world to Appalachia. I guess once they're ready, it's time to get that second booster. Call ahead, just like Tom and Sonny San Rafael advised us to do. Call ahead. Set it up. Go get it. You'll be fine. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Keep your social distance 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And, of course, if somebody happens to, you know, meander toward you saying, oh, the people of Maine should be outraged, and happens to smell like old hot dog water, well, avoid that guy like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.